Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, welcome. I didn't realize we didn't have an open today.
No open, says Kevin. I don't know what's going on. At least he can hear me.
Why the hell not?
I'm not too loud.
What's wrong with the open?
Everyone's offended.
We're hitting the ground running.
Well, welcome to PFW in Progress. The Ray gang's race. All here, fresh off the practice field. Day, what, 13 of training camp?
Practice 13. Well, but
practice 13, yeah. Game
day 8.
So,
Practice 14.
I'm sorry
See
I brought
what
it
happens
up.
When you try to be specific.
This is what happens when we didn't
when
have
you don't
an open.
Run an open. This is what happened.
We're
a rudderless ship.
Okay, we'll have to find out what happened there.
Stop
anyway,
lunch for us today,
PFW in Progress is the name of the show. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. And how's it looking, guys? We just came from a practice, full pads. Yesterday was a little lighter practice. They called off the morning practice. And then went with just shirts and shells, helmets and shells in the afternoon. But today they were back full pads, and I'd say it was a lively practice.
Eventful.
Yeah.
I thought there was a lot of stuff going on out there. I agree.
Yeah, maybe a little drama.
There was very dramatic practice.
Why don't you explain what we're talking about here?
A lot of, during the two-minute drill and the down and distance work, there was the offense was struggling, to put it mildly, and Tom Brady was none too happy, particularly with his offensive line, and let them know about it in no uncertain terms. And then when the next group, led by Brian Hoyer, came in, the O-line sort of went off to one sideline where the defense usually stands on the sideline, and Brady went to the other sideline. And it took a while before the two sort of met again, and it was sort of a slow progression that we were very entertained watching. As sort of Moss went over and talked to the O-line and Steve Neal went over and talked to Brady, and then they sort of slowly sort of converged again and started talking again. And
But they were laughing at the end of it.
I didn't really see the linemen
really
laughing
the
whole lot.
No, not a whole lot.
I saw Copen laughing. And
well,
he did
and,
laugh.
Yeah. With Brady?
When Brady put his helmet on Welker and Welker stood there like a bobblehead shaking his head and the helmet moved all around.
That's when I saw him laugh.
At that point,
I didn't see him laughing with Brady. I saw him laughing at Welker.
And I said, look, Welker's being the good guy, kind of breaking the ice. Away.
And I don't – it's – listen, this is a training camp thing. I don't think this has any long-lasting –
It's a molehill.
But I will say this.
Right.
And I will say this.
But it was entertaining.
It was interesting when the starting offensive lineman or the – you know, what we think of the starting offensive lineman. I don't want to get myself in trouble for categorizing anybody. When they were walking off the field, Matt Light, Dan Copen, Sebastian Vollmer, that crew were all approached by the members of the PR staff, and they all said no and just kept on walking.
Is this a road game in Miami where they got bitch slapped by Jason Taylor?
I don't know. I'm assuming that they probably felt they would be asked questions. Now, two of those guys that were with them and that were in the group today, because for whatever reason, Stephen Neal wasn't getting a lot of reps today, although he was in full pads. Dan Conley was lined up at right guard, and Ryan Wendell was lined up at left guard. Those two guys were in that group initially. They both came over and talked to the media, but didn't really address the. There were a lot of questions about that, you know. Yeah. And it wasn't like they were probing questions. It was more lighthearted.
Just what was going on?
They
over
didn't.
There. Yeah.
They
yeah.
didn't have any part. I didn't hear Copen's. I didn't hear Conley's response. But I was in on Ryan Wendell, and he. Didn't address it at all. Just saying, you know, Brady, you know, that's why he's a great leader. He's, you know, he's trying to motivate. That's what he does. Very standard Patriot answer, Patriot way kind of answer from Ryan Wendell.
He was hot at the offensive line.
Tom
there's
wasn't
no
happy,
about
but I think there's a little bit of frustration with the offensive line that doesn't have anything to do with Brady today. I think it has to do with these 14 practices that we're talking about. The offensive line is having a very difficult time getting the ball in the end zone in goal line situations. maybe the first offense has had one successful rush on a goal line.
Yeah, Lawrence
attempt.
Maroney scored on one on the far field a couple of days ago.
Like Saturday.
Yeah, it's been
Sunday
a while.
Sunday morning. I mean,
it's been a while.
Really haven't had many successful tries. The second offense hasn't had many successful tries either, although they did have one today. Maroney was able to squeak in barely, breaking the plane of the goal line. I don't know if it's something that maybe is starting to weigh on them mentally. They're starting to be bothered by it, but it looked like that was kind of the impetus of it. I think that they were really upset with themselves, and they're frustrated with the – and I think Tom had something to say, and it was kind of the wrong time. Now, that's total speculation, but I think the goal line failures are starting to weigh a little bit on the offense.
All right. What else today? A lot of running back work, picking up the blitz, corner blitz today. That was pretty interesting to
watch. Yeah, defensive backs instead of linebackers today. Yeah. It was interesting to watch because they come from a further distance. There's more athleticism involved with the person coming at the running back and more space to sort of make moves and stuff.
And so the interesting part of that drill, too, was towards the end of it, Julian Edelman came and joined the running backs.
Yeah.
And had to take one or two.
Yeah, we should mention that because he's been lining up and working with the running backs a little bit during drills.
Yep.
And, you know, I think we speculate again, but I think it would be accurate to say that, you know, they want to see what he looks like back there. Maybe he's more of an option to come out on the field than third downs. You mentioned, Paul, that Faulk really doesn't have a backup. You know, they need a third down backup, and maybe, you know, Edelman could be that guy coming out of the backfield catching passes, and when he has to, obviously picking up the blitz.
Yeah,
if you're out there in third down.
Yeah, and listen, it's something that we saw. I saw a little bit of it Monday night in the season ticket holder practice. He was working drills with running backs. We saw it again on Tuesday and Wednesday a little bit. And now today, as Eric said, there's a drill that they're picking up blitzes from defensive backs. That's a third down situation. So I have to say that, you know, that there's something, you know, something to that that Belichick is working on. And Andy and I were talking about the Faulk situation. They, you know, can Ben Jarvis Green Ellis be that sort of secondary third down back? Well, based on what I've seen in practice, I don't really think that he has that skill set. I don't think he's a gifted receiver. Not that he can't catch the ball, you know, but I don't think that's his strength. So I wonder if maybe they're looking at this. They think that Welker is ready. So they're wondering how many opportunities are we going to have to get Edelman in this slot.
Right.
Maybe this is a way to get both of those guys on the field. He can sort of serve as Kevin's backup in an emergency. And, you know, the whole adage of the more you do. And we talked to Julian about it a little bit after practice, and he didn't back away from it at all. He said, basically, you could say that in college I was a running back who threw the ball occasionally. I mean, he was not a passing quarterback in college. I know a lot of our fans are wondering if we're incorporating anything where he might throw the ball or serve as a wildcat kind of option. I think this is probably the closest you're going to get to that. He's a running option. I don't think he's really much of a passing option.
Yeah.
Not to say that he'll never attempt to pass. I think he will at some point. But I think that if you're going to put certain plays into some sort of package for him, it's going to be to get him to run with the football.
Yeah, probably.
On defense, I think it's notable. Guyton has been out with some type of injury for the last few practices. And Spike seems to be the guy lining up for the most part next to Jerod Mayo.
Yeah.
So he's an ascending player, as Andy termed him yesterday, an ascending player.
Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
That was the term you used yesterday. And I think Bill talked a lot about him in the press conference on Wednesday, saying how he's a little unorthodox. It's hard to put a character.
Reads differently. Reads the play differently
than
most players are taught how to
read
the play.
It's hard to put a comparison because of some of the different ways he goes about his business. And, predictably as a rookie, I think that he's had some ups and downs. I think there's been some plays that he's looked a little bit behind on. And there's been others where I think he's looked remarkably quick and instinctive, and he's been there and made some plays. So I think he's having a good showing for himself, and I agree with Andy's assessment. I think he's an ascending player. Now, it might be one of those deals where it's strictly because Guyton is out, but it also might be, hey, this guy's better than Guyton. Yeah. Guyton's not going to have a job when he gets back.
Well, this is where you show that. This
is
your opportunity.
Well, he's more prototypical, too.
Right.
We've all said we think Guyton's not suited to be a 16-game starting inside linebacker.
He made a play today that made all of us stand up. It was during team period, and he was going up. He was shooting a gap, and Dan Connolly tried to fill it, and Spikes just threw his right shoulder right into Connolly's chest and sort of drove him back. And the play kind of got snuffed right then and there, but it was a great play. I mean, it was on the far end of the field from our media tent, and we could hear the crack all the way back to where we were. It was a great play.
He's not
a great camp play. No, it's certainly not.
If his arm gets hooked and the guy runs right by him, it's not a great play anymore. Now, so that's one of those things I'll watch. Because one thing Bill talks about is that he does things his own way. Well, if his own way is using his shoulder, not his hands, and he gets swallowed up by somebody who's better than Dan Connolly, who's a 50-year Jag, and then all of a sudden the guy runs by him for an 80-yard touchdown, and he's the one guy who lost his gap and gave up a big play. I also saw him shoot a gap today. He didn't get to the ball carrier. Shot the gap, read the play, boom, and the ball just kind of bounced to the outside, and he was trailing. So, you know, we've seen good and bad from him. I will say he looks the part, and he's very physical. Both he and McKenzie are very physical, more physical than Guyton is capable of being.
And that was one of the things that Bill talked about, the combination of the inside linebackers. It's a good mix because you have some guys that look like they're first and second down players, maybe have some other guys that look more comfortable as third down guys, and I think that Bill will work to find that right mix and maybe maximize it as opposed to having to live with, as Andy said, a guy like Gary Guyton who played so many snaps, I think like 85% of the snaps last year, probably not his strength. So maybe you have a better mix of players right now where you split those duties up a little bit next to Mayo.
Now, the defensive backfield is really being mixed around. I think there's a lot of mixing and matching going on back there. Sometimes Merriweather is next to Chung. Sometimes Chung is next to James Sanders.
Mm. We've noticed today Terrence Wheatley getting a lot more action.
Wheatley got a lot of reps today and looked pretty good.
Bodden was hurt.
Yeah, that was after Bodden got hurt.
Bodden went down with
hip. Looks like a hip injury.
It looked like it was in that drill. It was a wet field out there, and he sort of fell awkwardly.
He continued to practice for another sit, covered a kick, then
was limping noticeably.
And then Wheatley took his reps. Yeah. But the end of that is accurate. I thought Wheatley looked really good, got his hands on a lot of balls, dropped an interception, but he can jump and make breaks on the ball. Mm. There's no doubt about that.
And I made a comment earlier. I don't know if I said it on Tuesday, but I know I wrote about it Monday night after that practice. He hasn't gotten a lot of real frontline reps. He hasn't been out there with the guys that he was out there with today a lot. Now, today he was out there, as you said, Fred, with McCourty and Butler and Merriweather and Sanders, all the guys that we would think would be out there in a real game situation. He hasn't gotten a lot of those, but when he does get out there, he shows up. He makes. Mm. He's around the ball. He's aggressive. He's physical. He's had a couple of very athletic pass breakups, I think. Andy did mention that he dropped an interception today, but that was still a pretty good position that he had. You got to make the play, but good position, and passes aren't getting completed when he's around. I don't know if it's just because of the caliber that he's been mostly with second line guys, and maybe as a third year guy, he's ahead of those guys, or if it's just that he's playing well. But Jonathan Wilhite has been off the field for a long time now.
Hasn't been
in
uniform.
At this time last year, there was no comparison between Wilhite and Wheatley. Wilhite was far ahead of Wheatley at this time last year. Right now, I'd have to say it's the opposite is true, although Wilhite missed a lot of time in camp last year, too, if you recall.
I want to make a note about that pass rush drill with the defensive backs and the running backs. The star of that show was Kyle Arrington, by far. Nobody could stop him today. He was getting past everybody. Yeah. It didn't matter which running back they threw up there. He was putting spin moves, swim moves, using his quickness. He was getting to the quarterback.
And he did one spin move in, a small area where... Lightning quick. Didn't lose his balance. I mean, that's where, Bodden hurt himself trying to do the same thing.
Trying to do the same thing, yeah.
Slipped and hurt himself.
And by comparison, Bodden looked very slow and clumsy.
He opened my eyes.
He sure did.
Yeah.
And he's making plays on special teams, getting a lot of positive feedback from Scott O'Brien.
Yeah. He said yesterday, it's going to be... how did he put it? Every time I'm on the field, I'm going to play it like it's my last play. It's want to. As a small school guy, I got to prove, as a Hofstra guy, I got to prove what I can do.
Yeah.
He did that last year on special teams late in the year. I think he envisions himself as becoming special teamer and, at the very least, backup defensive back. Mm-hmm. And we see flashes of talent, of ability there, I think.
Huh. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. I understand that the stream went down for a little bit, so I guess it's back up now.
It's a going problem.
I don't know. I hope we're back on the air. So if anyone missed all the stuff that we did, Brady did
the
retire.
Restart?
Oh, no, I'm
restart?
Only kidding. Brady didn't retire. Just kidding.
He fought the O-line.
No, he just fought his offensive line.
We had some technical difficulties in the first 5 minutes with
IT upstairs. The stream wasn't going out. But...
Oh, IT under the bus.
Hello, bus. All
right.
My name is Steve.
All right.
Whatever. I'm just letting all the listeners know.
Kind of whatever.
By the way, is Doc getting lunch?
Bill.
I will talk to Doc. We
well,
had to fix the crisis
really
upstairs
it.
First.
We absolutely.
Because I doubt that
can't rely on CBS
CBS
again
will
today.
Mistakenly send us lunch today. I should have known it wasn't for us. They never send us anything.
It's all right. It was
it's better that we have fans that love us that send us.
No,
speaking of throwing under
not
the bus,
some, I mean,
never
that's
send
whoredom.
Us anything?
That no. CBS scene is whoredom. They're just looking for them to say, ooh, CBS scene sent us lunch.
We'll
that's
say
a
it.
Business arrangement.
We'll say it.
Ours comes out of love, respect, and adulation.
Except when they show up in person and you hightail it the other way.
Who?
You.
Who?
You.
Fans?
You.
Love them. Love them.
All right.
Speaking of love.
Yeah.
Shack-a-deck.
Well, who cares? About
number 36. My two favorite players, Jimmy Sanders and Shaquille O'Neal.
It's football season.
But right? As I told Andy, at least one of his favorite
Jimmy
players
Sanders.
Will be wearing 36 this fall.
These guys are worried Jimmy won't be wearing any jersey
oh,
number
I'm,
this
I,
fall.
I'm not. I made a comment to you. I think that the demise of James Sanders has been grossly oversold.
I just worry about
in
him.
Camp. The last couple of days, he's getting a lot of run. You know, who knows? Maybe they showcase
emphasis
him.
Emphasis on run.
But
when they go to those nickels, he gets to beat feet.
Yeah, no, he was out there with Merriweather today. Yesterday, I think he was out there with Chung, and Merriweather was on the side. He's been getting all of a sudden a little bit more more action. I don't, you know, listen, I think that they would be, it'd be an unwise move to get rid of a guy that they are pretty comfortable in, regardless of what they're going to try to do. They know what they have in him. He's not a superstar. Doesn't pretend to be one like another member of the safety corps. And I think that you know what you're going to get with him. And I think it would be an unwise move to cast him away right now.
Well, especially, you know, when the other guy is McGowan, who I think is up and down. I don't think he's steady enough.
Certainly not a leader.
No.
He's
not
cheaper.
Not leaders wanted.
Cheaper, but
he's cheaper. You'd save money. That's the only thing I can think of.
But to get rid of him.
It's about money or building a team.
I agree.
You know, to get rid of him.
It's not just collecting talent, Paul. It's building a team.
You know, and expect you'd have, what, Merriweather?
Chung. Sanders.
McGowan. Those are the four.
The top four, anyway.
Yeah.
Those are the four safeties, yeah.
So, I don't know. How many safeties do they usually keep? Three or four?
Four, you know, four's a number. I don't see why you would have to get rid of any of those guys.
Yeah,
I really don't.
I don't either. All right.
It all depends on the, you know, the Kyle Arringtons, the Brett Lockett's, you know, those guys, you know, where they fit in on special teams. Are they valuable enough? I mean, based on what we've seen from Arrington last year, he probably is valuable enough to keep just as a special teamer. That's where you round it out, because you're probably going to have four or five corners, and if you have four safeties, you know, 9, 10, 11 maybe at the most defensive backs. So if you have one or two like Arrington and Lockett that are probably just going to play special teams, that might take away a job from a backup safety or a backup corner, depending on what the case may be.
Yeah. Any other positions of note? Running back, not a lot of work really on running today. Today was kind of like a lot of pass-oriented type stuff.
Yeah, but, school bus and tractor trailer.
Nobody
crash,
looked
Paul.
That great
how?
Today.
How did that happen?
Paul's looking at the TV.
St. Louis,
it's
Missouri.
A school bus like on top of an 18-wheeler.
I don't think he stopped. It looks like he ran right up his butt.
That's unbelievable. It's unbelievable footage right there. Sorry.
That's not your football tour bus, is it?
No. Is that my Accord?
Yeah.
No.
Running backs today, Fred Taylor. Had a couple drops.
Yeah, again.
Looked.
Which day is this that you're referring to?
And Torrey Holt had another ball I thought should have caught. I mean, he had a jump, but it went right through his hands.
I'm starting to get into that mildly concerned department with regards to Torrey Holt.
Yeah.
It's still early. Obviously, they haven't played any games, but I'm a little bit concerned that I haven't seen more
at this point. Two ways, I think, to look at that stuff. I agree with Eric. You could be concerned because he hasn't looked good. But might it also be a good sign if you have enough comfort level with some of the young guys that you can let him go?
Yeah, sure. But
because I mean, it all depends on what you were envisioning getting out of Torrey Holt heading into this year. And I was looking at a fourth receiver at best. Right now, I would just as soon take my chances with Tate and Price.
Well, that's the thing, Eric. You said in the media tent, you know, could this be the same thing as Galloway?
You said it on the show, too.
It could be, but I don't think with right now at least, with as disastrous results. Because last year you didn't have, you know, Tate and Price possibly coming up. This year you do. Last year, Edelman, you didn't have no idea what he could do. This year you do. So if Hope becomes a bust, I don't think it would have the same disastrous, and I call them disastrous, effects that you had last year.
No, you're probably right. I just don't like the trend that I'm seeing.
No, for Holt, no, I don't either. He's not doing anything to earn more reps.
Well, I just also don't like the trend of bringing in a veteran guy who's proven himself elsewhere, and then he comes here and can't do it.
Well, I mean, well, I'm not so worried about
it. One is not a trend, first. I mean, right. And this, no, up on Torrey Holt.
No, I'm saying, right. I'm extending this to if this were to continue all the way through like it did with Galloway.
No, I know, but everybody has Joey Galloway in their mind. They wouldn't think the same were it not for Joey Galloway.
Right, and I also,
everyone's holding that against Torrey Holt.
I also think that part of this is, you know, at some point it ends for everybody. And I think that might,
happens,
that might be part of this with Torrey Holt. I mean, he's nearing the end of the line here. He's been an unbelievably productive receiver for a lot of years who has slowed down considerably in the last couple.
Still maintain Galloway was a big play threat that if he couldn't do that, all the other stuff.
I still agree with you.
Torrey Holt can catch 10 passes that might be important to you, or just, you know, Gaffney from 5 years ago, or, you know, when it wasn't just touchdowns, when he wasn't elevated to the third receiver. I still think there can be a value for him as an extra wide receiver, bottom of the depth chart wide receiver.
NFL note.
Yes.
Elvis Dumervil, did you hear about this?
No.
Torn pectoral muscle, out 4 months.
Ooh.
It's a lot of
money.
Look
at Fred's smile. Look at the smile on his face.
It's unbelievable how happy he gets.
Terrible,
you are.
Terrible
You're
guy.
You're an awful person. You're just an awful person.
What?
You know, how can you be happy that a guy
tore
his pectoral muscle?
Why are you smiling?
We need the camera. Paul, did you see
that wire?
There's three guys in the NFL that I would smile if I find out.
It's terrible.
They got
plus,
hurt.
You know, Marino got hurt over there, and it's terrible. Terrible.
Well, there's a difference between straining a hamstring and tearing a pectoral muscle.
I heard it was more than just a strain.
Okay, what'd you hear?
That it was
he broke his leg?
That it was a tear.
Who?
Okay.
Who?
So it's
no Sean Marino.
You're comparing a hamstring to a torn pectoral muscle. It's going to have the guy out for 4 months.
All right. We got a lot of emails here. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
In progress.
Oh my God. What the f*** is this?
Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? Jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay. Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery at masslottery.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
They were flexible.
That's probably where we philosophically disagree. I think 2007 they said we had a team in
progress. He did it again! He did it again!
That's unbelievable. We had a bad team in 06 that overachieved and we had to do something different. Wow. That's what I think. Again,
you
I don't know. I'm having an out-of-body experience. I really, really apologize. That's twice in 2 weeks. This is what Fred does to me.
What is wrong with you?
I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the phone right now, we have Mike in Puerto Rico. Mike, how you doing?
I am well. How you guys doing over there?
We're doing good.
Hey, how's training camp looking? What's the tempo? What's the feel like? What's the atmosphere?
Haven't you been reading our blogs? It's all there for you, bro.
I actually found it the other day. I hadn't seen it before that you guys were doing that. I was looking at Reese's, and I think it had a link to one of your blogs, and that's the first time I actually started reading it. So,
you haven't heard us talk about it for the past, like, 3 years?
If you read Boston Media Watch, he cites our blog as, like, the most informative if you want to know what's going on at camp.
So. Well, I'm sorry if I hurt your writing sensibilities, Eric. I'll follow up and try to keep updated.
Well, it's okay? Not Eric's blog.
Yeah, it's Andy's blog, so, you know.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah.
I was wondering if had you guys talked at all about Aaron Schobel?
Well, we talked a little on Tuesday about him, about whether or not, you know, he'd be a fit here and whether or not he'd want to play here.
Don't get your hopes up.
You know, I heard that. And I don't, you know, again, I don't know how these things get started or what the source is, but I heard his first choice is Houston because that's where he's from and he wants to be close to home. But I don't know if that's Aaron Schobel saying it or just people guessing about that. But he was released and he's available.
I would take him because I know what kind of player he is and he's better than anything we have out there right now. But I just worry that he is kind of half thinking about retirement, and as we've said before, if you're half thinking it, you're already there, sort of.
Yeah.
But and I really don't have any idea if he really wants to be here or not. So I wouldn't hold out too much hope, Mike, for Aaron Schobel.
But Bill has a history of going after players that have done very well against us, as you know, other than Jason Taylor, I don't know of anybody else that has gotten to Brady more than Aaron Schobel.
No,
I even think he got to Brady more than Jason Taylor did, I think.
Yeah, he's certainly been effective. I would love to, like I said, I'd love to have him, but
I think they'll go after him.
The interest has to be mutual.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely go after him. I think there's a chance he could come here. I'm not really sure. I mean, they need somebody. They need help at that position, no question.
Okay, so as far as I've been reading, because I haven't caught up to the actual practice number, I'm reading them one by one as you guys posted it on the blog. And you guys seem real excited about Tate.
I'd say right now we're equally excited about Tate and Price. I think we think both of them have potential. And actually, Price, I saw them working him out as kick returner the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good to see that, you know, they want to see him get a little versatile as well because, of course, Tate has been doing that for a while. But I think we're high on both of them, and I think they both have potential. However, I have seen Price kind of maybe slack off a little bit as we've got into practice 8, 9, 10. He's dropped some balls.
Well, I wouldn't say slack.
Yeah. Not slack. I don't mean as far as effort, but okay. I mean as far as the end result. You know, he's not.
I got to tell you, the only guy that consistently doesn't drop passes is Randy Moss.
Yeah.
I've seen everybody else pretty much drop, you know, Welker too, I suppose, doesn't drop too many. But we've seen it out of Holt. We've seen it out of Price. We've seen it out of Tate.
Yeah, and maybe we're just basing everything on Wes Welker and Randy Moss, and this is the way receivers are in training camp, unless you're, you know, those two, you know.
Okay. Just one more question before I go into a quick game. Has Sean Merriman signed his tender yet?
No.
So he's not under contract with the Chargers?
No.
At but, this point, considering what we what we've had going with, you know, the question marks with Burgess coming in, would you entertain a trade for Merriman at this point?
I would entertain it, but right now the Chargers just lost another one of their outside linebackers to injury. So I think that...
Who did they lose?
I forget the guy's name, but I remember reading that and going, oh, well, that makes... Now they maybe will step up things with...
not Sean Phillips.
No, no.
Larry English?
I forget. If it wasn't those two.
If it wasn't one of those two, it's a non-impact injury.
Yeah.
I think it... Did they draft a linebacker?
Larry English last year.
Last year, but this year. Did they draft a rookie linebacker?
Maybe later on. Ryan Matthews was their first-round pick. I don't know what... You know,
Okay.
Well,
I that.
Throw out a quick game. Who do you think will have a bigger stats at the end of the year, Edelman or Tate?
Bigger stats, better stats. I think
bigger
Edelman.
Or better.
Edelman.
Let's
what are the
better.
Stats?
Let's say bigger. Let's say better.
What are the stats you're looking at?
Just overall production. You know, catches, touchdowns, yards per catch.
Yards from scrimmage.
Yards per catch, Tate.
Right.
Everything else, Edelman.
I'm not sold on the touchdown total.
I don't think either one of them will have very many touchdowns. But I think Edelman will catch more passes.
Right.
And Tate will have more big plays.
I think that's a safe bet. But I think there's a chance that Tate could have 4 touchdowns and win 4-1 or something.
Yeah. Especially if we continue to see Edelman working with the running backs and the wide receivers, there's more of a chance for him to be productive and hurt.
Because if best case scenario, Moss is obviously our number one. Does Welker stay at our number two, or does Tate become our number two and then put Welker at number three?
Well, I mean, Welker's in the slot.
Yeah.
Moss and Tate will be on the outside.
However you want to slot
Welker's
not going to the outside.
Align him, whatever you want to call
one. In terms of production, it'll be Moss, Welker, 1-2. But if you're looking at the slot guy is the number three receiver, well, that's always going to be Welker. But but in this offense, it's a three wide receiver offense, so you don't really have to worry about that.
And then Edelman become our four, and our five coming in will be Price. Best case scenario.
Sure. Those are your top five.
All right. Better stats, Spikes or McKenzie? Now that I hear that Belichick raving about Spikes.
Well, McKenzie. Right now, I'd say Spikes.
I'm going McKenzie.
I have been pretty happy with both of those guys.
Me too.
It's a toss-up right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could go either way.
I think they'll both play a lot. They'll rotate a lot.
I'm going to give the slight edge to Spikes, but I wouldn't be surprised.
As you should, because he's lining up next to Mayo, and that's a good sign.
I wouldn't be surprised if McKenzie ends up doing, in terms of tackles and stuff, statistically, McKenzie could do just – I think both of those guys can play that position.
All right, two more. McGowan or Chung?
Chung.
That's a safety.
Chung.
Wow.
It's that's a lesser impressive. Of two evils, so don't get your...
An ascending player and a guy I know who he is. I've seen the best of McGowan.
I would be completely stunned if Chung's not the starter.
Really? Yeah. At the beginning of the season?
Yeah.
He's been the starter throughout
the summer.
Since
we got our first look, he's been the starter next to Merriweather.
Wow. I guess that's... Talks either well about his progression or a Gowan's degression, I guess.
Sure.
And last one, Gronk or Hernandez?
What's the question?
Better stats?
Yeah.
Are we talking catches, touchdowns?
It's kind of like the Edelman
impact.
It's like the Edelman question, Edelman Tate question. Gronkowski, I think, will have more big plays, more touchdowns. I think Hernandez will have more catches.
Right. Yeah, but you know what, right now? I did agree with you. Right now, I think Gronk might lead in both categories, the way things are looking in camp.
You're down on Hernandez, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
I just think it was a really good sign. They ran a two-minute drill. It went Welker, Moss, Moss, Welker, Hernandez, Hernandez. He was the only other guy to catch passes in that drill, and he caught the one that set up the field goal with 23 seconds left.
Yeah, if they get a lot of red zone opportunities.
Tom Brady is spending a lot of time for him to really – I just don't think it's a waste of time. I think
he's going to catch a lot of passes.
If they get red zone opportunities, Gronk is the guy because he's going to bowl people over when he gets – catches the ball inside the five. If it's in the middle of the field, Hernandez probably gets more of those.
He's a slot receiver now. If you watch pre-practice drills, he doesn't go with the tight ends. He goes with the slot receivers. It's Welker and Buddy Farnham and Aaron Hernandez. He's a slot receiver, so he's going to catch a lot of balls. That's what that position does.
That's what I originally thought of when they drafted him, that he was going to become like a David Givens part two, in the sense that he is big, he's strong, he's fast, but he's not the overpowering tight end. But he's much bigger, and he's going to cause matchups. And I thought I never thought he was going to be drafted per se as a tight end, or even as a, what do you call it, an H-back or a move tight end. I always thought he was going to be a good slot receiver that just has, you know, good speed and good power. So, but I hear you guys talking about Gronk, and I haven't read your blogs, but I haven't heard that much, you know, press out there for him, for Gronk.
Catches a touchdown at least once every practice in the
red zone.
I think
he's been absolutely terrific.
Yeah, smooth as silk.
So get back to the blog and catch up.
Okay, I'm up to practice number three, so hopefully
chastised
by next week
Eric.
I'll be caught up.
All right, Mike, thanks for calling in. Mike from Puerto Rico.
I mean, honestly, anybody who listens to the show and doesn't listen, is the
email address, 508-543-7482. Should probably,
is that why they hate him?
That's why they hate him.
Probably get to some emails. Mark wants to know who's going to step up at outside linebacker. We've had issues in the past covering tight ends with no speed at the position. With McKenzie, Spikes, and other additions, have we improved? Well, neither McKenzie or Spike play outside linebacker. So
right. Good, Fred.
However, I think McKenzie could drop back and cover. I think he's got enough speed to do that in certain situations. From his inside spot.
I think he would get spun like a top.
Yeah, I don't want to see that.
You know?
I like him as a traditional
inside linebacker. But every once in a while, your inside linebacker has to cover somebody coming across the middle.
Gary Guyton.
But ideally, it's Guyton, then Mayo.
Yeah.
Based on what I've seen, they've even had Spikes kind of out there, and McKenzie seems to be kind of behind that. But you don't want McKenzie in a lot of pass coverage, I don't think.
James from Brisbane. Hey,
good
guys,
friend.
Andy, I've just realized who you remind me of. My brother-in-law has the exact same sense of humor you do.
Nice.
I'm just wondering if you, like him, taught your children to pull my finger before they were able to walk. You know that gag?
I've never been a fan of the pull my finger gag.
No?
Never.
Well, you can't do it. Can you do it on demand?
What?
You know.
I try not to force him out because
you don't know what comes out with it.
I might look like Brandon McGowan with poopy pants on the practice field.
I'm a little concerned about the recommendations you guys have come up with so far for halftime. Lady Gaga might show more than Janet Jackson did, and Rihanna's best when muted.
I'm off Lady Gaga, I just want to say, because I didn't know she had a penis.
She doesn't.
My personal preference for this year's Super Bowl halftime show is Jessica Simpson. I know her singing is pretty awful, but I would love to see her walk out to the halfway line, look at the camera and smile and say, "Suck it, Romo. I made it to the Super Bowl before you did, you a-hole." Seriously, though, I think John Mayer, Green Day, or someone like that would be a good show.
I hate John Mayer.
I would put a bullet in my temple if Green Day was out there.
You don't like Green Day? What's wrong with Green Day?
John Mayer isn't really
halftime. Why don't you like
either.
Green Day?
Self-serving, pompous.
He's just an idol and people he's banged. But
I like Green Day. I think they're great.
I'd take Jessica Simpson, though.
No,
skinny Jessica Simpson.
You know,
we're talking about for halftime show.
No, I'm hoping she's going to show her like the last girl did.
She was on Entourage this week.
You see, she screwed up Idol. She was who they wanted for Idol, and then her dad got involved in negotiations, and Fox just said, "We have no interest." Huh? She was like the first choice. Well, I guess Elton John was kind of the first choice, but she was next.
Chris from Stamford writes in, says, "I'm a little concerned about reports regarding Green Ellis and Taylor's inability to catch the ball, and wonder if that doesn't open the door a bit for preseason All-Star Thomas Clayton. Do you see any surprises coming out of the backfield this month roster-wise? Also, if the Pats don't at least make an effort to get Schoble, where do I file my complaint?"
Well, Fred.
I wouldn't worry about them not making an effort. I don't know if they'll get him, but I do think that they will.
And you may not hear about it.
As Nick Caserio talked about it this morning, they will definitely look into that possibility.
Yeah, but we may not hear about what the offer is.
Absolutely
or anything
no.
Like
we might not. They might not make an offer. It might just be as much as a phone call to find. Might say, "I'm either going to retire or I'm playing at home, or I have no intentions of playing at all." I don't know. It could be anything. But you're right, Fred. They're not going to then say, "Hey, we called the guy. He didn't want to play." You know, they're not going to let us know the update unless they sign him.
No one wants to come here.
That's not what the media says. The media says that he would come here for a chance to win the Super Bowl.
There you go.
That's the local media here. That's very, very, very tough on the Patriots.
Do they still live in like 5 years ago?
I see something brewing here.
Paul versus media?
No, it's Paul versus George.
Well, there was a very good article. This might be Paul referring to on EEI.com.
I'm not referring to any article. I'm referring to you telling me
Jerry
that the media is tough.
Jerry Thornton wrote about, you know, how a guy like, and he just used Albert Breer, for example, goes to the Jets, covers the Jets in Darrell Revis holding out and says, well, this is what, you know, great teams have to go through. But when something happens with the Patriots, it's because they're cheap and greedy. And he makes a good point.
Not really.
I think
there's a holdout going on right now that no one's even talking about, asking questions about, or criticizing.
I think
no
one's not just in New England, but I think local media are always fearful that if I say something good about the team, my other media brethren will think I'm sucking up to get preferential treatment or being a homer or whatever. But when they talk about other teams, they're more free with their compliments because they don't have to worry about getting made fun of by their fellow brethren.
I guess it's just one of those things that it's how you look at it, because I actually look at it in the diametrically opposite way.
I'm not surprised.
Media people are more apt to suck up to their team in an effort to keep the avenues of information open, whereas they may have the same situation elsewhere, and they'll Brett Favre, for example. You don't think that if Brett Favre were a Patriot quarterback doing this routine that he would get the amount of criticism that he gets on local airwaves, do you?
No.
NCAA. No chance at all. It would just be nothing but a love fest, like it is now. As Andy accurately points out, we're in the midst of a pretty high-powered, high-profile holdout right now that no one's discussing on a daily basis. No one's even bringing it up. No one's criticizing the team. No one's criticizing the player.
Legitimately, the team hasn't been able to break
the
goal
line. And by the way, I don't think the team deserves one ounce of criticism for this one.
You could turn this so easily into you got to sign.
You got to have
Mankins. Stop being cheap.
Nobody's
your
own line stinks. Every single day we go out there, they can't get the ball in the end zone.
The column writes itself if you wanted to criticize the team.
However, if Brady hadn't come out and extinguished all that pre-camp talk about his thing, I think that a lot of people would be criticizing the Patriots right now. Because they were starting to before that, they need to sign him. What are they waiting for?
Sign him.
Why are they trying? That's not criticism.
They're
using the CBA as an excuse.
All of that is accurate.
Who criticized him though? Oh, a lot of people were writing that.
Who?
I mean, I didn't make that up.
Michael Silver?
I don't know.
But the only local stories that I've read about really the Brady situation have been by Albert Breer, and it's just. Here's a statement of fact. Here are all the things that, you know, the CBA.
And it's actually been very pro-team.
Most definitely.
Here are the 422 hurdles that are between me and signing Brady.
And this is, you know, the Manning situation, the Breeze situation. It's presenting all sides, all facts. The only people that were saying that there's a possibility that Brady might hold out were national people.
Right. Who may or may not have beers with Brady
every
night.
Michael Silver.
Well, you know.
There's a disconnect. Anybody write there was a disconnect in Boston?
It just seems to me that if anyone dares to come down on the Patriots side locally, you know, the best team of the last decade, that there is a certain contingent of New England media just ready to pounce on them to call them pom-pom waivers.
Fred, just today, a member of the local media suggested that Aaron Schobel would sign here over Houston because of the chance to win the Super Bowl.
Who?
Chris Price on WEEI.
I like when we name.
Is there something?
Well, it was on the radio. I mean, I'm not. Not like he said it to me in the media.
Is there something wrong?
That's different. Okay. He said it on the radio.
So, is there something wrong with that statement?
Yes.
The Texans went 9-7. The Patriots went 10-6. Houston beat the Patriots. There's a discernible advantage to go to one of those teams over the other to win a Super Bowl.
Oh, wait a minute. So you're saying that. Now the Patriots are not as good as the Houston Texans?
I didn't say that. I said, is there a discernible advantage for going to one of those teams over the other in terms of winning the Super Bowl?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Well, then that's why I think you're wrong about the the tenor of the media around here, because right now the Patriots are just another team.
But they have over the last 10 years, they've had
But over the last three, they've been just another team.
But they've been better than the Texans.
08, 09, and now into 2010.
They went down to Houston and just beat the hell out of them.
Last
game of the season.
Did they really?
That game?
Oh, how did we lose then? How did we beat the hell out of them and lose?
Forgot that we lost.
Until what? We were losing when Brady came out of the game, so don't give me
that
one.
The Patriots were dominating that game.
Right. He saw a different game.
When Arians Nation was running all over him, that guy?
He saw a totally different game.
Come on.
Brady threw the interception that put the Houston ahead. Do you remember that?
Oh, come on.
They didn't dominate that game. They lost.
They lost the game, Fred.
Oh, my God.
I know nothing about anything but sports.
This is what I'm talking about. A guy can't say, based on everything that's happened with the Patriots over the last 10 years...
But it's not about the last 10 years, Fred. It's about now.
I know, but you don't know what's going
to
happen.
If you asked me in 2004, I would say, absolutely, you signed with the Patriots. You asked me in 2010, this eight, 10 teams, you could say that over.
So were the Patriots better than Houston last year?
They were about the same, if you ask me.
Yeah, about the same.
Okay, so I'll give you that. They were about the same. So... They're about the same, and they have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Do they have a better chance of winning the Super Bowl this year than the Patriots?
I don't know. Neither do you.
No, but
I'm asking an opinion, because obviously people think they're of the opinion.
But Aaron Schobel has gone up against this team for 9 years.
I think
he probably has a little bit of – probably more respect for this team than you do.
He can't have
obviously.
More. He can't have more for what they've done over this last decade than I do.
The line of thought that there's a better chance for him to win this year in New England, you just admitted – no one really knows.
No.
It's not 5 years ago.
But you have to go on your experience.
But, Fred, 5 years ago, that was legit.
Exactly.
The Patriots were without a doubt one of the three best teams in football.
And
you knew it.
I'm going on my experience. My experience of the last 3 years is the Patriots don't have a better chance than San Diego or Indianapolis or New Orleans or, you know, some of these other teams that have been – better recently. I would say Baltimore has a better chance right now.
I think that the discussion was between Houston and here.
And I'm telling you that I think that's a toss-up right now.
Especially,
they went 9-7 and 10-6 last year.
But
they beat you.
Aaron Schobel has a lot of
Matt Sharp is arguably a better quarterback right now than Tom Brady. Right now, you can make that argument.
And by the way, Aaron Schobel
had a better
year
last year than Tom Brady did.
Aaron Schobel might know how far the
Patriots
have fallen.
So now stats are what you go by?
No, he had a better season is what I'm going by.
Finish your thought.
Because Brady's stats were better than he played.
As well as anyone, right?
Right.
So he may know how far they've fallen from the good teams of 03, 04 to now.
I think he knows that, you know, we can't beat the Patriots. Maybe, you know, if you can't beat them, join them.
And that might be
the
case.
Are having trouble beating the teams that they need to beat, who are considered the elite teams in the league.
I just think that, you know... Again, Chris Price makes the audacious
that to me is a laughable
you know,
comment
to come out
yes.
and say, you know, maybe, you know, the Patriots have a good chance of winning the Super Bowl this year, so we might want to.
They don't though. They don't have a better chance than a lot of other teams. That to me, you say it's an audacious statement. I think that's accurate.
Fred,
it was
you know who else made that statement?
A laughable
to stop
statement.
Living in the past. Bill Belichick, when he took down the photos of those teams that were a better chance.
I think it's a laughable comment to say that. This is 2003. Rodney Harrison could sign here because he has a better chance of success.
And at the time, Fred, Rodney Harrison was looking at a veteran, experienced, championship-caliber Patriots team. Aaron Schobel's looking at a team, half the roster could be second-year guys or younger. He doesn't know what they're going to get out of those guys.
He knows that they have Tom Brady. He knows they have
Bill
Belichick.
He knows those two things.
He knows it's a good organization.
Yes.
I mean, those things
that
are factors.
That he knows. He doesn't know that they're a serious contender for a Super Bowl.
Well, does he know that about Houston?
No.
But 5 years ago, he would have known that about the Patriots.
My point is, all things being even, and I'm giving you that maybe they have even chances.
All things being even, he has a ranch in Texas.
Right. Well,
they're not even.
I know, but I think that there are other factors that would tip the scale in the favor of the Patriots for him.
But not the Super Bowl. Not a better chance to go to the Super Bowl, in my opinion.
Than Houston?
No.
Okay, remember they got the Colts in their division.
I understand that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who will probably...
And don't forget, New England has
the Jets.
They
also have a better
division.
Chance than the Patriots.
Right, but you're not saying that Houston's going to overtake the Colts in that division.
No, I think Houston right now, talent-wise, is on par with the Patriots. I'm sorry if that is audacious to you, but that's how I feel after watching
perhaps
the two teams play
in their last game
last year. That's how I felt.
Well, it's not a terribly strong division after you get past the Colts.
No, I know. They only had the best team in the AFC 2 years ago. That's also in that division.
So, I don't know.
Right?
You know, I just don't think it's that audacious for sure.
When was the last time Buffalo was in the playoffs?
A long time ago.
Jacksonville's in the playoffs quite frequently.
But I think that I think
for
it's
such a bad division.
I think it's I don't think it's that audacious to think that Schoble would come here because for a chance to win. You know?
Well, I think it's aged thinking.
I think if you had said it's, you know, Tampa Bay or the Patriots, then that's an accurate statement. If it's Houston or the Patriots or Cincinnati or the Patriots or Green Bay or the Patriots, I don't think there's a big edge on one side or the other. I don't think better chance to win is a factor that gets a check mark on one side or the other.
I'm not saying, you know, on paper there might be a big edge for the Patriots, but I'm saying in Aaron Schoble's experience with the Patriots, hey, you know, I know what they've got over there, and I know they've got a chance. I'm going to go with them.
Okay.
I don't know.
I know
Houston.
What they have over there is a different reason.
Houston,
than
I play Houston once every 8 years.
That's fine. You know. If I know what they have over there, and the devil I know is that's fine.
You know,
don't tell me they have a markedly better chance of success than anybody else, because that ain't the case anymore.
Well, you know, if you want to just talk about I want to be closer to home, well, then Houston wins. That tips the scale in terms of Houston.
And if a guy is half thinking about retirement, then that's a huge...
Well, that's another issue.
Advantage, you know, for Houston.
That's, no. Yeah. It's not that he's half. It's that he can be half retired. He can be home.
He can
on
be
a
half retired.
Yeah, but
literally, that might bring value
to
him.
I think Houston would have the same questions about him
just
the Patriots would in that point.
This spun off.
You want to bring on a guy who has one foot on the out the door.
But it's spun off to a different argument.
Right, exactly.
You claim that the media here beats up on the Patriots, yet they're
no,
still...
I did not say that.
You said they're unfair to the Patriots.
I said the minute that somebody has the nerve to say something positive about the Patriots, there's a contingent of media in New England that rips them for being homers.
But and that sometimes is true, and we just kind of proved that. But my point is, you are claiming that because of that, people don't say positive things about the Patriots.
I think they're worried about saying it because
okay. They
don't want
well,
to be
viewed
as homers.
Well, I just proved to you that there's over-the-top positive things being said about the Patriots every day, in my opinion.
I don't think, but okay. Well,
the media here treats the Red Sox and the Patriots. The Red Sox and the Patriots in this town are treated with unbelievable kid gloves.
Yeah,
especially on talk radio.
I mean, Aaron Schoble's glasses, when the filter of his glasses when he looks at the Patriots, is probably a little different than you. You know, because all he knows.
I don't know why you're trying to turn this into an Aaron Schoble thing and what Aaron Schoble's thinking. I've never talked to the man in my life.
I know, but he's not.
I have no idea what he's thinking.
All he knows is losing to the Patriots. That's all he knows.
But you're taking this into a whole different thing.
Well, we're talking about what.
We're talking about the media and whether or not they're overly tough on the team.
But again,
And you spun it off into another thing.
But all Chris Price was saying,
Christopher Price
was saying was what he thinks Aaron Schoble might be thinking in regards to where he
that's
might
not what he said.
Play
he
football
said,
this year.
He said that they have a better chance of winning in New England. That's what he said. He didn't say anything about what Aaron Schoble's thinking.
Which is different from if you can't beat them, join them.
No. But I also – didn't he say Aaron Schoble might be thinking that? Didn't he say that?
And what I would say is that's laughable. That's a regular media guy would sit there and say two teams that were basically even last year, one has a discernibly better chance.
Again. He's saying this is what Aaron Schoble might be thinking.
But, Fred, I just explained to you, he has no idea what Aaron Schoble's thinking, so why say this is what he might be thinking?
I guess then...
This is the same thing that he did with Belichick that day. Instead of just taking the words that we know are said, he branches it off and says, well, this is what Bill might have been thinking.
I'm defending Christopher Price here.
I'll save the show again. I'll save the whole thing again and just say, you're right, Fred. The media is too hot on the team,
right,
and we'll
windows.
Move on.
I'm defending
because
Christopher
Price.
Because
we can't talk about this if you're going to try to tell me what Aaron Schoble might be thinking.
After losing to the Patriots for a decade, could Aaron Schoble be thinking that? Is it possible that he's thinking that?
I would say no, it's not possible.
Okay.
But I'm not going to make an argument with you.
All right.
Because obviously,
so you know
it's
what he's thinking.
No, I have no idea what he's thinking. I can't make that argument.
Well, you asked me.
You asked me to give me my opinion. I didn't say that.
Christopher Price was doing.
No, he didn't. I heard what he said. He said that he would come here because they have a better chance to win the Super Bowl. That's what he said.
Okay. Well, then in that case, you know, but I thought he was writing a story about, you know,
he was talking on the radio
trying to make up his mind.
He was talking on the radio this morning.
And what are the factors for Aaron Schoble to decide here or there or other? I thought that's what the whole discussion
was. Now we're just going to assume that Aaron Schoble doesn't pay attention to the league's personnel.
Right.
That's what we're going to assume that because he lost, you know, a lot of games over the last 10 years.
Oh, and these players know the depth of all these teams. Come on.
We're not going to assume it. We're just going to flat out say it now.
He knows the team that he plays twice a year and what's happened to them over the years.
Yeah. We lose to them every year.
But he knows that.
But he knows that they're not
the same team that they were 5 years ago.
How did they lose to him last year?
The first time or the second time?
Both.
The second time, I think the Patriots kind of had it handily, more handily than the first.
Tom Brady had to throw
that was called back. That was called back for
5 minutes.
Yeah, the skinny guy, right? The your guy out of Penn State was offsides.
Puzlesny?
No, Maben.
Oh, Maben.
So the first one came down to counting on Ben Watson to score two touchdowns late, and the second one came down to an onside kick. He knows that the Patriots aren't kicking ass anymore, right? From firsthand experience.
I guess.
He knows that they had an ungracious exit from the playoffs.
He branched it off into a whole different wild card. I'm just trying to prove that the media in this town is completely in the pockets of the teams, especially the Red Sox and the Patriots.
Who?
All of us. All of us. We are officially in the pocket because we're the Patriots.
LRC. I think there's one show on EEI that's in their pocket.
All the shows.
And I think there might be two.
They're all contractually obligated to talk to the Terry Francona's show.
I'm talking about the Patriots.
They're all contractually obligated to all these shows.
I think
Brady and Belichick.
I think the big show is in the pocket of the Patriots.
And the morning show's in the pocket of the Patriots with Brady. They fawn all over him.
Yeah,
every
but not
morning.
As not as far as the team goes.
No, see, this they is love my point. Tom if they Brady. Say they lost, then it means that they're beating up on them. That's my point.
You don't think that,
not whether or not Aaron Schoble thinks that he has a better chance of winning the Super Bowl.
I think that again. I think the big show with Glenn Ordway definitely is a homer show. Okay, now you can't count the pre and post game show because that is the Patriots show. But I think past that, there might be a couple
on
writers.
It's not on that station.
No, on 98.5.
Oh, well, I don't know.
At least
Patriots Football Weekly. We make no false pretenses about it. It's right there in our title for everybody to know.
Right.
We're owned by the Patriots.
Right.
They're all owned by the Patriots, but they claim they're not.
Well,
that's my.
I think there might be a couple writers who, for whatever reason, are always come down on the side of the page. But I think besides that, I think that if anything, if they're not objective, they tend to side toward negative just because of the fear of being labeled a homer. And I think that's not New England. I think it's even worse than New York, where they actually have competitions to see who can be the most snide and sarcastic. I don't think that's just a New England thing. I think that's a media thing.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I'm good moving on.
Yep. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back and make a call up to Doc to see where lunch is.
Food is always welcome.
Wrong! Try again, dumbass!
Patriots.com Radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. That's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
It's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots Instant Game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots Instant Game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest plastic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Apparently, we've been having trouble with the stream today. I'm told it wasn't on our end. We were sending the stream out, getting it out fine. But
not Chris Ferreira's fault.
Our provider out there where that streams it out was having trouble. But I guess it's working now. So you missed some good stuff.
Maybe they didn't hear our foolish argument.
Good thing you missed that first hour.
You're going to have to download the podcast in order to...
Stick with the first half hour of the podcast.
I thought it was a good argument.
No, I wouldn't. I was in it.
Got us through the half hour, but, you know.
Terrible.
Well... I think it's a media thing.
We don't have to. We got a lot of emails.
On the pod.
We've
agreed to disagree and move on.
Move on. We got a phone call. 508-543-7482. That's the line. And on it right now,
Kevin from Reading. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. How's
good
it going?
What's up, Kev?
Good.
Hey, I tried streaming earlier, and you guys said, you know, it was down. Did you guys talk about Showbowl and the... with the odds of getting him, what you know?
Yeah, Paul says that he'd like to come here because the Patriots are going to be a contender.
I heard that part when I was.
We have no idea.
I think the Patriots would have to be interested. What's going to happen? You know, who knows? But it certainly sounds like he wants to get closer to home. But you know, I don't know what Schoble's plans are. I don't even know if he wants to play.
You know that thing about him being closer to home. You know, I've heard that, you know, okay, does he live in Houston? Because if he doesn't live in Houston or the Houston area, Texas is a pretty big state.
Yeah, it's Houston, yeah, evidently.
It's a ranch
it
in
is?
Houston,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Which means it's about 40 minutes.
The other thing, too, is, Paul, you had mentioned about Matt Schaub. You thought that he may be a better quarterback. Well, I don't want to take your words out
of context.
You said
you could make an argument that he had a better year than Brady last year.
All right. Out of 28 teams, how many, if you told 28 teams, your quarterback went down, you can pick Schwab or Brady, and you can have him play your quarterback for this coming year only. How many of them would you think would go Brady as opposed to?
28.
Okay. All right.
All I said was you can make an argument that last year Schwab had a better year than Brady.
You also said you can make an argument he's a better quarterback right now than Brady.
Right now, yeah, because one's 33 and one's
based
not.
Based on 1 year.
Right, and the fact that he's younger. But to answer Kevin's question, which was a good one, if you had to fill in for a season, right now, it would be Brady. No
question. Jamarcus
Russell's,
he's younger.
That's why I said a one
that
season.
That makes a lot of sense.
Because you can make the
now
argument.
Now you're channeling Andy.
You can make the argument.
Like, hey.
You can make the argument, I guess, if
Brady's
that's
play
why
he
raised it a one season. If you had to pick one of them for the rest of their career, you know, you can make the argument
pick
for the other guy just because he's younger.
Right.
But Kevin's right. Schoble is picking a guy for 1 year because he doesn't want to play.
But I'm just saying you could make an argument. It's a discussion.
Right.
You know, it's not one team has this Super Bowl aspirations. The other team is, you know,
the
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They're both old school trends. One, the team hasn't been able to crack the playoffs.
Yeah.
The other, people just remember 5 years ago that it's Belichick, Brady, and I'll take them.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, is if you pick them up, could you see the Patriots going more to a base 4-3? Put in Mayo on the outside, Guyton on the outside, and using McKenzie or Spikes in the middle?
I think at this point, no.
No.
Yeah, I don't think you'd do that for one guy. And Schoble's not exactly, you know, Michael Strahan, you know, that you would do
Reggie
that for
White
your whole
defense.
And it's 1 year.
But,
yeah.
The other thing I'm just thinking is just their personnel with the kind of lack of outside.
He just slides into the Burgess role as a former defensive end who's going to be a down defensive end pass rusher. Maybe he drops some, but I really think you would literally be interchanging Schoble for Burgess.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, where I don't think they're going to switch from a base 3-4, I think we will be quick when they see that the matchup just doesn't work to slip out of the 3-4 and go into something else like they have in the past.
Last year, right.
Year they had a lot of formation.
I don't know what they were base last
but
year.
In right. either case, you're not going to see Gerard Mayo sliding to the outside.
No, it's just
lining up on the outside.
I got two more things. One, I listen to the Tony Kornheiser podcast on occasion.
Boo.
And
that's unfortunate.
Usually about once a week, he has Bob Ryan on. And yesterday he had Bob Ryan on, and they were talking about Brady. And I remember a couple of years ago, you guys talked about there was one big media guy in town and who absolutely did not like Brady. And just from the tone of Bob Ryan's comments, they talked about his haircut. And Brady says, and Ryan said, you know, I'm sure it says something to do with Giselle. And talked about how, you know, when he's done with his playing career, he'll be out of town and we'll never see him again. Now, he wasn't trying to be, you know, kill Brady. It's just kind of the tone.
I hear what you're saying,
negative,
Kevin. I know.
Was somewhat negative.
I know.
And I was wondering, you know, without, you know, I don't want to get you guys in trouble.
You're asking the question.
I don't think you're getting anybody in trouble. I'd be hard-pressed. I mean, I'll open it up to you three because I obviously have my feelings in this. Do you think there's a member of the Boston media that doesn't like Tom Brady?
Not that I know. That's why I was kind of wondering, Kevin,
do you have any
idea who it was?
Well, this is back when He Who Shall Not Be Named was on the show.
Oh, boy.
Well, he probably said
it a while ago.
He didn't dislike Brady.
No, but it was you guys. It came in the context of there was one big-name media guy in the press who didn't really care for Brady.
I don't remember that at all.
Well,
I don't know.
I think the press, they also like to be stand-up comedians, and when there's low-hanging fruit, like, you know, Giselle and things like that, everyone...
She's low-hanging.
Everyone has their cracks. You know, everyone
She's
wants
classless.
To be a comedian.
That's about as low as you can
you
get.
You know, so they won't miss the opportunity to make fun of Brady, whether it's his hair or lifestyle or all that stuff.
But
you
that's
know.
A whole different thing
that's
than
whole,
not
yeah.
liking the person or the player.
Right.
But that's not mean-spirited.
Yeah.
Everybody does it. Matt Light does it, and he's his best pal on the team before today.
Like Brady plenty. In matter of fact,
it does annoy me when people say, oh, the minute he's done, he'll be gone.
Well, I'll annoy you because I don't think you'll ever see him again for anything that's not a sanctioned event.
But they
event.
Say it as if he could care less about the New England Patriots. I don't believe that.
Well,
I think
don't
he
think
does
that's why
care.
People,
when he's here, he cares.
No.
I'll use your words.
I don't think it has anything to do with that. This is just my opinion. We're asking people, you know, what they're thinking. I think that when he's in L.A. or even New York, he can walk around as a superstar, and he's recognized But people are more used to having superstars around, especially L.A., where Giselle is in the circle. And when he walks around here, it's a complete and total fishbowl.
But I think a lot
of, I don't think he likes that. There's nothing to do with the New England Patriots. It's New England.
But I think a lot of people who say things like that, the intimation is he could care less about the New England Patriots. And that he's all, you know.
But again,
and I don't believe that.
You're putting these words about
you get that sense?
I don't think he'll ever spend another day in and around Foxborough.
They say it to tweak Patriots fans.
See, but why are you saying it? Why are you saying how are they saying it? Why are you commenting on what?
Because
I said it.
Because I have 30 years of experience in this, and they're saying it to tweak the fans.
Hold on. I never remember anybody saying that about Larry Bird. I never remember it coming up. You know, as soon as Larry Bird retired, he went off to Naples, Florida.
Good point.
And French Lick, Indiana.
I don't know what you guys were watching if you never remember people saying that Bird was never comfortable in Boston, because that was a constant.
That's different.
That was a constant.
Different.
That's not what they're saying.
That's not the same.
It's the same thing. He'll never spend any time in Boston when he's retired.
We're talking about how he views his own team.
Well, see, you're reading into the team. Everybody else is saying he won't spend any more time in New England.
They're saying, "Hey,
Patriots
with fans, as much as you love Tom Brady, he doesn't love you."
Okay,
that's what they're saying.
I haven't heard anybody say that. So if that's what they're saying, that's fine.
When they say his playing career is over, he'll be out of here so fast and not look back.
I think that.
Well, my point is when a guy like a Larry Bird or Kevin McHale was playing here. You know, that was never really mentioned.
Larry Bird, it wasn't mentioned about?
No.
Of course it was.
No,
he was
it
never comfortable
oh,
here.
Oh, sure it was.
Of course it was mentioned.
Different.
Sure
that's
it was.
Different. That's different than saying, you know, Larry Bird can't go out and walk around the streets.
Absolutely. That's exactly
saying.
Why he wasn't comfortable.
But that's not what they're saying. That's
well,
not
again,
what
you, and Fred are, you and Fred are hearing something different than I just said the same thing. I agree,
but now
I don't
you're
think
delving
he'll
into
time.
An argument that we've had before. Brady is different than any other superstar this town has ever had.
He's like, no,
Bird,
I don't think
like
so.
He's like Bird.
Wait, was Bird going to the Pope? Was Bird doing movies? Did he marry a star and build a house next door to Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Larry Bird was
no.
bigger than Tom
Brady.
Brady is.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah,
sorry,
was.
He wasn't.
Well, locally he might have been,
yeah.
but not worldwide.
Did he build a $30 million mansion with his supermodel wife next to the governor and Arnold Nader? That's a different level. That's worldwide celebrity.
Hey,
that's TMZ.
Time out. Hold on. Bird in the 80s was big nationally. Everybody knew him. He was recognizable.
Everybody knows Wes Welker, too.
Well, hold on.
Let him make his point.
He did national commercials like Peyton Manning does. His face was all over it.
Right.
And internationally he was known. For, you know, basketball in Europe and parts of Asia was growing. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, they were all well known. Tom Brady goes over to Europe. They barely know who he is. They don't know who he is in South America.
You know who he was in London.
Well, that was different. That was the NFL PR machine getting out.
No, that was him showing up at a club, and everybody knew the guy who walked in. And the guy you just mentioned, by the way, Magic was closer to Brady. He was Showtime. He was LA. He was superstar. He'll admit he got caught up in being Showtime and Magic and rather than Irvin or however he differentiates his two personalities. Mm-hmm. Brady is a global celebrity, and in my opinion, enjoys a part of that lifestyle.
Yeah,
I would say. And that lifestyle does not exist in New England. What's that?
You're telling me Larry Bird was a
global
celebrity?
No, he was a global great basketball player.
There is a difference because you're right. You know, back then they didn't have the internet and they didn't have all these ways to communicate that they do now. So, you know, that hurt Bird in terms of this. I think sports-wise, Bird may have been as big as Brady is now.
Yeah,
however,
Brady's celebrity goes
beyond sports.
Right.
That
Larry
Bird
wasn't
never
interested
did.
In going to the fanciest club in the big grand
if we're
opening.
Showing up
at
the Senate
the State of
or
the Union
making out
address.
With his girlfriend where it can be seen or going to some resort. He was French Lick.
If Larry Bird were married to Kathy Ireland and he was doing all these things, it would be a different story.
The only
story.
Time Larry Bird made headlines when he wasn't in Boston is when he and his brother were beating up people in a bar.
Right.
You know, that's a different thing.
Or he got in a fight with Rick Roby during the NBA Finals or something like that.
He didn't seek the attention.
Actually shied away from it.
I agree with you, Kevin. When it came to sports,
Bird was as big as you could get.
Yes,
but,
and people,
but Brady goes beyond
and
sports.
People absolutely discuss the fact that he would likely not spend any more time in Boston when his career was over, and he hasn't.
The similarity.
Yeah, but the Bird, similarity is dead on.
But the reason
there's
is
There's a whole
different.
Book about it.
The Bird, reason is kind of...
I'm telling
Brady
you, a lot of writers
celebrity.
Say that to tweak the fans. Because they don't like the fans.
But that's fine. You and Kevin think
all the fans are stupid.
You and Kevin think there's a reason for that.
Whatever the fans think, we're going to say differently just to tweak the fans.
Am I saying it because of that?
Who are you?
Because I say the same thing that a lot of...
Well, you admit. You come right out and say you don't like the fans. So at least you're honest about it.
This is where you go and you can't...
At least you're honest.
He doesn't say he doesn't like
them. He says they're stupid.
They're stupid.
You can't have a regular conversation. This is the point.
You did say that.
You say when... The writers write that Brady won't spend any more time in Boston. That's not what they mean. They mean that you're stupid for liking this guy
they're
because he doesn't
them.
Care about
they're
you.
Exactly.
Well, I say he won't spend any more time in Boston. What am I saying?
Guys,
I don't know. You tell me.
I say he won't spend any more time in Boston. That's all I mean.
Oh, okay. That's
I don't
fine.
Think
we'll
he likes
lunch.
It
we'll
here.
Be back. Yeah.
Hey, guys, one last thing. Yeah. I'm going to the camp tomorrow morning.
This is very dangerous, you guys, leaving me alone with Fred.
Yeah. When do they post if you know the camp's going to be canceled, like the morning session?
I'll give you an example. Yesterday they canceled morning, and I got it around 7 o'clock. So luckily I was in work, so it got posted around 7:15. But it just depends on when they make the decision.
Okay,
you know, I would. How far away, Kevin? You're what, about a 45-minute drive?
Well, with traffic, probably a little bit more than that.
Yeah. So practice starts at 9:30. I would check at 8 o'clock before you leave your house to see that, or you can always call 543-0001, the hotline. You just call the phone 508-543-0001, and that will have it on.
I think you probably. When are you planning on coming, Kevin? Tomorrow?
The morning session. Yeah.
I think you. I don't want to tell you definite, but I think you're probably pretty safe tomorrow morning, in that they'll practice.
I figured they kind of gave them. A day
that's
off
why I say
day.
That. Yeah, I mean they gave him a walkthrough earlier this week, and then they gave a session off yesterday, and then no pads yesterday afternoon. My guess is they'll go twice today, twice tomorrow, and then reevaluate from there.
Yeah, I want to see some hitting. Get the pads on.
Yeah, you can never guarantee that. You might get stuck with another walkthrough or something, but you know, Fred's right. All you can do is before you leave, you know, do your due diligence and check out the website.
All right, Kevin, thanks for calling.
I wish we had a better
answer.
We're
going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
I feel awful when that happens.
What? Oh, I know.
When the boss says it...
For those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
It's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Yeah, don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the MassState Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Paul Perillo prides himself on being the old-timer of the PFW crew.
Going back to the 40s with Paul.
Well, let's face it, it's actually Andy who makes fun of Paul for being an old-timer. But just because he was born in the 40s or something, it doesn't exactly mean Paul has all the answers. In fact, it seems like just about everything Paul's come up with, he didn't come up with.
I was going to say he'd rate it the way he should be, too. I was going to say, I read something. This is what I was going to say, that, yeah. Just on this topic.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
That's the way I was going to say. That's probably our mission statement right there.
Oh. I was going to say, you know why it is.
What's the matter, Paul?
No, I was going to say it was the 485, so. I was going to say that, but I don't even know.
Jeez, Paul, what do you know? We're not sure if you ever had an original thought, and even that your catchphrases might be stolen. Right, Eddie Mac?
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Fred is Paul's here. Andy and Eric hightailed it out of here to go get food, so they better be bringing back some down for us.
As long as they hook us up.
You know, they didn't even say, oh, can we go up? They just ran out.
That's because you know what happens. You and I have our little arguments, and we're above that sort of thing. Especially Eric. They're too good for that. The pseudo-intellectual scoffing looks on their faces.
Right, right. Like they're above arguing.
Well, you know, we're not going to miss anything now. They're just going to have this foolish argument, so we might as well go get
lubricants.
Food.
Yeah, well, they'll get theirs. Anyway, let's see. We should get to some emails here.
Yeah, especially if we're back up and running. Let's get
to emails. Yes, we are. Hey, guys, how's it hanging? This is Hamza. Toronto. First off, thanks for the great camp updates, everyone, and howdy to Kevin, whose first couple of days in the job were further proof that Paul is correct when he says hazing is a cruel, cruel practice. Well, the story is out there. There's really no avoiding it. I mean, we're talking about a guy whose drawn-out decision on whether or not to retire could directly affect the contenders for the Super Bowl this year, not to mention a situation wherein a team is almost held hostage by the unexpected decision of a single player. I'm speaking, of course,
Darrell
about
Revis.
Derek Burgess, veteran linebacker for the New England Patriots and apparently the most unlikely candidate for this year's MVP, given the importance his decision has on the team. What I can't understand is why there appears to be no contingency plan at outside linebacker right now, which seems typical of our head-scratching personnel choices the last couple of years. I read Mike Reese's argument for pursuing Aaron Schobel, and it seems like a no-brainer, which of course means don't count on it. Although at this point I'd settle for Greg Ellis or Ogunleye, or really anyone at outside linebacker whose NFL resume doesn't say TBD. To be determined, I guess. Hell, what's McGinnis doing these days? Can Rosie Colvin run a 40 in less than 8 seconds? Maybe we can check out how versatile Julian Edelman really is. I jest, of course, but the way this is shaping up, I can see this defense getting pummeled by everyone from Peyton Manning to Trent Edwards. Okay, rant over. P.S., my dad is a huge Vikings fan. The last couple of days have been just priceless. One minute he's happy, the next minute he's sad, and I swear he's gotten visibly grayer in the last 48 hours. I can't fault the Vikings, though. If it were the Patriots in this situation with Brady and no backup in 5 or 7 years, I'd pay him $20 million, too.
Oh, yeah, I don't blame the Vikings at all. You?
No, I mean, what can they do?
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of stuck. Yeah. It's unfortunate that he doesn't make these decisions and just stick by them, because even if he decided he retired or whatever, you know, that's fine. You just you go on with your plan and figure out what you do. But this back and forth, they had to have gone into this offseason assuming that he was back. And now if he says he's not healthy enough to play, I mean, well, I think we all think he's going to play, but that really makes a mess of the situation for Minnesota.
John in Norwood writes in, this is without a doubt the number one gay-friendly Patriots podcast in the world. I agree with that.
We have all kinds here.
Yep. With Ty Warren sitting out pretty much from the beginning of camp, I've put him in my don't be surprised category. Over the past few years, he's become a player that is continuously injured, and when he does get on the field, his production has become so-so. I don't have him as a lock to make the team anymore.
Well, if he's not a lock, then I think I would lower my expectations even more.
Yeah, no, I think on that
they don't have the kind
on
of
the
depth.
Left side of that line. I mean,
they don't have the kind of depth to be to be discarding.
Pretty much penciled in right there.
Just on defense, especially known commodities, they don't have the luxury of discarding known commodities.
Matt from Glasgow, Scotland. Hey guys, and Eric, love the show. Never miss it. I will try to keep this short because Fred has a lot of emails to read. Why do you guys not give Tully Bannacane the props that he deserves? This man was the Patriots' pass rush leader last year, almost single-handedly. Could he be a leader in the defense with Wilfork and Mayo to replace Patriots legends like Vrabel, Harrison, and Bruschi? And Andy, you suck.
I think he did a nice job. I don't know why people think that we're not giving him any credit. I think he had a terrific season last year.
I think what we're saying is that, you know, it's unfair to expect him to be the guy on the Patriots.
And I'm not
defense.
Talking about statistics. I'm talking about the play, the player, the plays that he makes. I think he had a terrific season last year.
Yeah.
I just don't think that if that's the best you have for a playmaking front seven guy, I don't think that's good enough. That's all I would say. You know, if Mike Vrabel was all by himself, I don't think that would have been good enough. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, we all liked a lot what Vrabel did, you know, in the balance of his career here. But if you stripped away McGinnis and Bruschi and Seymour and all these other guys and Mike Vrabel was the best you had, I don't think he would have been good enough. Do you?
No. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Brad from Maryland's on the phone. Hey, Brad.
Guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, Brad.
We're doing really good.
Glad I finally was able to hear you guys after 58 minutes. But
yeah,
I
we had a problem.
It wasn't Kevin's fault. I am in no way blaming him.
Oh, I am.
Oh, no. Come on, guys.
Nicely done. Nicely done, boys.
You guys were so hassling him the other day for Fred's microphone. That was a riot.
Well, actually, it wasn't Kevin's fault. It was Doc's fault. From what I understand.
Thank you, Fred. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Well, camp's underway. You guys are doing great. Keep up the great work with the blogs and all the updates every day. We appreciate that, those of us that are not around. So I wondered if, besides missing the first hour, which I'm sure you probably discussed, Schoble, ad nauseum.
Yep.
Everybody's got this idea that he's just the down lineman. I was looking at his stats. I mean, he's 6'4", 248. Does that not remind you of Willie McGinnis?
For McGinnis played linebacker, too.
Right, but I'm saying the build, it's not like everybody say, well, he's not like a Strahan. Well, Strahan was like 6'6", 280 pounds.
I know, but here's the thing about McGinnis. He came into the league and immediately they started trying him in at different things. Remember, they had that whole elephant role where he would move around.
But at first, he was a linebacker.
Yeah.
Then he went to the elephant role.
That's
then
right.
He went back to linebacker.
You know, Schoble has done one thing, and now he's 9 years into being a veteran. You know, it's not like he's had a that old expression, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I think it might apply here.
But could we not look at this and say, I mean, and I know everybody's discussed, you know, well, we're a 3-4 team, we're a 4-3 team. I think as more and more teams mimicked Bill in what they did, I think he's kind of morphing, saying, you know what, there's good in both, so we're going to do both. If you remember the old days of Dallas, when they had the flex defense, and they would flip guys depending on where the tight end went, where he came out of the huddle.
Yeah.
Why could we not do that with Schoble and whoever? Because you've already said Bannacane can do left or right. If we want Schoble to be that pass-rushing Willie McGinnis type, Why can't we go back to doing that the way they did in the old days?
Well, they could do that, but they could do that with Schoble, absolutely. If they could just say, you know, go out and rush the passer, yeah, they could do that with him.
I mean, I think our defensive
I think that's why they'll be interested in him. I don't think they'll be asking him to drop into coverage and you know, be the prototypical outside linebacker and set the edge. And I think they'll say, you have a specific skill set. You're 10 years into the league now. We need some help in this area. Now, he's going to have to do some of that stuff. He can't just say, you only do this one thing. I think you have to do other stuff as well.
I don't mean to be the guy who was, you know, nothing before 1996, but aren't offenses more diverse, intricate, motion?
No, welcome back to the show, Ian.
I mean, yes.
No
I did,
question.
I did a fine job as an intern getting us all lunch. But, Eric, yes.
We.
He takes credit for
kind of like they have a
Eric,
blog.
Everything he takes credit
I was
for.
Say, Eric, aren't you used to that?
It's far harder to do anything to strength and just have guys play to strengths, quote-unquote, whether it's theirs or strength of formation, than it ever was 10, 20, 30 years ago. It's just the way the NFL is with motioning and tight ends like Watson or Gronkowski who are in line, motioned out, motioning across the format. You just can't be that one-dimensional, I guess is the word. Guys have to be able to flip-flop, do everything, play both sides of the field, play the run, play the pass. It's just too easy to scheme against it, I think.
Well, I thought about that, and I've already come up with a conclusion for that also, and that is, if you remember back when we had Roland James and Mike Fox, they would flip as the tight end flipped. In other words, so that if you had a pass rusher, we'll say McGinnis, and you didn't want him dropping back into coverage, but they motioned to that side.
Right,
there
the guy
was
would
an
follow.
Automatic call that said the other outside linebacker took the running back,
right,
and the safeties flipped so that the cover safety was on the motioning tight end.
Yeah, I just, if you get caught doing all, I mean, that's fine. There's always an adjustment. There's always a counter. And then when you have two outside linebackers who are standing next to Gerard Mayo at the snap of the ball, you are, to put it
screwed,
bluntly, effed.
Well, no,
I mean,
you don't move your linebacker.
No,
that's
I'm just saying. You're talking about moving pieces, right?
No, I'm
any
saying
pieces that are moving could be moving at the snap
of
the ball.
Goes into motion, if the tight end goes into motion, then Schoble's got to cover him. I'm saying, no, they don't have to because that's what your safeties are doing. You can have a safety come up. I mean,
right, I'm just saying there's always a way to do something, but what does Bill want? Bill wants everybody to be able to do everything. He wants to be versatile on defense.
It
I'm not saying they won't sign him. Because, as I said, I think they'll just slide him right into the Derek Burgess role. Everything they had slated for Derek Burgess when he didn't show up,
change
I think
the
they
jersey.
Would say, Aaron Schoble, right. This is your role.
Oh, I agree. And I think that this is one of those where you only get this kind dropping out of the sky every 5-6 years.
Well,
and
I won't go to that level because I'm not sure that Aaron Schoble is a game changer.
No. I'm not saying greatness, but I'm saying an opportunity to replace a part that right now isn't in the lineup. In other words,
I agree.
If Burgess is done, and it looks like whatever we'll say he is done, how often do you get a free agent that is almost that mirror image that just kind of drops out a week in a training camp?
Yeah, the timing is right.
The example is Ted Washington. They needed a nose tackle. They got a nose tackle. He fell in their lap thanks to Jerry Angelo.
Exactly.
You're
but,
right.
You know, we're not getting that with guard, and, you know, I wasn't sure about Boston Herald's piece about Mankins gaining leverage.
Well, they could have had it with guard if they wanted to go after, like, Alan Faneca, if they thought he had anything left, because he came available at about the time that...
The difference is the guard is an all-pro. That's why there's no comparable guard out there available on the street.
Right.
The guy we're replacing was a marginal piece to the puzzle last year, and a former All-Pro.
Right, that didn't have what he had 5 years.
Just like you're describing it, as Andy pointed out, offenses have sort of evolved. You're describing something Roland James and Tim Fox did in 1979. I mean, there's really nothing the same about what's going on in football offensively and defensively.
Back then it was two wide receivers, a running back, and a fullback.
But I'm also saying that we – Bill is specializing in – I mean, for the last 3 years, all we've heard Bill say is, you know, we really don't have a strong safety and a free safety anymore. We have two safeties, and they do everything well. And if that's the case, then I think if we're getting to the point where we're having more confidence in our defensive backfield and everybody's saying we need a pass rush, maybe it's time to say, I'd really like this left outside linebacker to be able to drop into coverage. But, man, we really need some pressure. And if this guy can do that, then we need to maybe let him do that for a few games.
See, I'm more with Andy. I don't think necessarily it's because we have no strong and free safety because we feel comfortable with our safety so much that we can ask him to do both. I'm saying if you want to pigeonhole your players into just being able to do one thing, offenses will target that and take advantage of it. You have to have safeties that can do a little bit of everything, and you have to have linebackers that can do a little bit of everything. Otherwise, they'll find you. They'll figure it out. I mean, you watch every week. Watch every week the way Bill Belichick, again, you're talking about a transcendental player in Ed Reed who can cover the entire back line of the defense by himself more effectively, to quote Bill Belichick, than two safeties can. He's better at being the one guy back there. So, yeah, you can have two guys.
They targeted Jarvis Green, and there wasn't a thing we could do to stop him.
Well, yeah, but yes. No, you're right. I thought you were going to talk about the way Baltimore plays the safeties. Okay, I see what you're saying.
They targeted Jarvis Green and ran over him all day long.
Yeah, and I just think that, you know, you watch the way the Patriots go about their offense, and you see the Wes Welker coming underneath. What they're doing with those various formations and motions is they're finding that defensive back that they don't think can handle whoever the Patriots are going to look for. That's what teams will do.
Or with Kevin Falk, every time they motion him out and get a linebacker on him and just take a chance.
You know, they're making you change your personnel, and then they're making you take your sixth best cover guy, and they're going to find a way to get Falk on him or find a way to get Welker on him, and they're going to take advantage. And I think that's what teams would do if you just said to Aaron Schoble, you just go out there and rush the passer every play. We'll flop the formation or whatever. They'll figure out how to.
You can flood his side of the
field.
No matter what you say with the safety, you'll do this. You can always bring more players.
And all that said, I'm all for signing Aaron Schoble.
Yes.
They need a guy.
I'd sign my mother. Absolutely.
They need a player that's that
good.
Anyone. And the way you put it, Brad, once in a 5-year period, you're going to get a guy who's good enough on the street right now to replace a guy that you had thoughts to
within
start and have a role that
you,
quickly.
You don't even have to trade for him. You can sign him, which
exactly.
is even better. Because the Bills, I don't know what they're doing, but for some reason, just let him go.
And you know, the thing I look at is,
it's a complicated
if you're ranking outside linebackers right now, where would you put Aaron Schoble in our 5 outside linebackers?
2.
Put him right behind
Vanta Kane.
I almost put him ahead of Vanta Kane because he's done it consistently every single year. 6 sacks, 8 sacks, 10 sacks.
But he hasn't done it in the role.
Right. We know that Vanta Kane can do it in this
system. Vanta Kane is a proven NFL player who, when with the Patriots, is a proven pretty good player twice.
And with the 49ers, he was?
Not that good.
Luckily, we're ranking Patriots linebackers. If you asked me to rank the 49ers linebackers,
right.
Vanta Kane wouldn't be as high.
Right. And again, different system, though,
right.
just to illustrate your point about Schoble.
Right. You asked me to rank Patriots
in
linebackers.
In this system, I know Tully Vanta Kane can play.
Which, by the way, in an ideal world, I'd love to rank Tully Vanta Kane 3rd. And rank X and Y ahead of him. But right now, he's 1.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll keep up the great work. Thanks so much.
Okay, Brad.
And, we're looking forward to next weekend.
Brad on the east side of Maryland, by the water, getting the nice sea breeze
crab
there.
Cakes.
Eating crab cakes. Mark in Oxford, UK says, yes, we do know Brady over here in the UK through the NFL and also through other things like his wife. Brady is probably your version of our David Beckham. Anyway, back to football. I'm pretty excited about our rookie tight end, G-Force and Hernandez. Any chance they reel in 10 touchdowns this season between them?
Yes.
How is McCourty doing for a first-round pick? We haven't
good.
Heard
pretty
much
good.
From you guys about him, rather a lot more from the rest of our draft class.
We've been talking all about camp, all the reps he's getting. It started out rotating him with
Butler. I resign.
Then there was times where it was him with Bodden, then it was him and Butler.
He's been playing on the left
a lot.
It's a three-man
race for starting jobs. And, oh, by the way, Lee Bodden may have hurt himself today by hurting himself. I mean, I think he's in a fight for his starting job, personally.
Yep.
Now, they're rookies, so it's hard to, you know, this is week one greatness. In week three of camp, all of a sudden the professional, who's Lee Bodden, you know, kind of pulls ahead because
right.
he's the veteran. But McCourty and Butler are beyond competitive at this point. They're looking to
God,
start.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Brownies are like fudge.
Yeah,
they're great,
tremendous.
Aren't they?
Also, B-Lo reported about Edelman working out with the running backs. Are we going to get serious about Wildcat?
So
or maybe,
did PFW.
Maybe some gadget plays, or will Edelman run some plays
see,
as
aren't
a genuine
the blog as
running
much as they
back?
Should be.
You know what? I'm going to stop blogging
update too, though.
And stop updating things on the website, and then we'll see how much you people learn, because then everybody else won't be able to steal from us to put it in theirs.
Now, Fred.
Yes.
We could have a serious bitch session about that.
About what?
What was the question? People stealing our stuff.
Oh, well. Now, what is it? The Herald yesterday stole... What? What?
Good Lord, he was trying to be diplomatic. You a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive
no.
to whores.
Hey, if someone steals from you, you call them out. What did they steal from us?
Entering the training camp blog notes into their paper, which we started doing this year.
We were the first. You know, everything's been moving towards the web, everybody crying about the dying newspaper. We went the other way, starting in minicamp. We said, why don't we take all the stuff we put on the blog, pare it down, and these are observations. Some of them have a little bit of opinion and analysis. And why don't we put those in the paper as sort of a secondary part of our coverage of these camps?
Plus it allows...
And promote the blog
promotion
at the same time.
Promotes the blog, cross-promotion, but going the other way. It's, you know, not a lot of people take from the web to put in the paper. They go the other way. Well, we did that, and now all of a sudden this week, rap sheet stuff coming from the Boston Herald blog into the paper. Coincidence?
I think not.
And it also coincided with the first day after our issue came out.
Yeah.
That had, you know, the blogs.
But again, this
included
is the second
the
time we've
notes.
Done it. We did this going back to camp coverage.
No, but this was like our
We're
daily.
Not late to any party.
Our daily camp notes have now a daily blog item with it.
We are the cat and we are being copied.
Right. And Fred always tells us to, you know, take it as flattery.
I think you're picking nits, wouldn't you say?
No, I think I'm picking a fight.
Oh, I'm not picking.
Maybe
it.
We should.
No, I was joking.
I don't really. I don't really buy that whole
copy.
Copying is the best form of flattery. Paychecks are the best form of flattery.
Yeah. Maybe Fred always tells us to be flattered, and I say, you know,
flatter this.
Pay me.
Maybe right here.
Maybe we should start a segment that's called, you know, coincidence. I think not. Mm. And once a week, we'll, you know,
yeah, once a week.
Yeah, that ought to endear us to the rest of the
highlight
media.
Something that someone stole from us. Okay. I think we should do that. You know, I don't think we should let people get away with that.
We're not going to take it anymore. It's like Eric when you had that moment in high school and you just beat the hell out of the bully. You felt better afterwards.
Right, and it stopped after that.
Who was the guy in Network that said we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore?
That was an older guy. I forget his name. Yeah,
an older guy.
Eric, by the way, broke your boycott yesterday. A couple questions in
had
the...
to.
Yeah.
Had to.
Good
for
to
the sake
see.
Of the paper.
Good to see. And then it just, once
well,
the dam was open,
he was responsive,
it just started
so I had
flowing.
To, I had to take advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah. So nice to see. Welcome back. You know?
Thanks.
Did it have anything to do with me telling you, though, you had to do that because it was part of your job?
No, it had to do with the tent a day earlier.
You don't make decisions on asking questions or not?
No, it just happened that...
It's like a plumber saying, I'm not going to do toilets anymore. I'm sorry. I'm just not doing it.
That's a good analogy, actually.
Had nothing to do with that.
All right.
Paul, we bring all these fajitas down. You're not going to have one?
I had one.
Oh, okay. As long as you had one.
I did.
I actually flip-flopped.
What
I thought
if you
would
have
eat
any?
A couple
would
and Fred would complain that we didn't bring the condiments.
No, I'm
would
not,
you be mad
I'm
if
not huge
didn't have
on the
any?
Mexican that they have. It doesn't.
It's unfortunate for you since this is the fifth time in camp we've had it.
I know, and I really like the rice, but I don't like the beans, so.
You can't get the beans without the rice.
Right.
You don't even taste the beans, Paul.
Really?
No, you don't.
Because I will. You always make fun of me.
You also don't digest them. They'll be in the toilet bowl tomorrow morning.
But I'm guilty of what Fred always accuses me of. I've not tried it with the beans in it because I don't like beans.
Yeah, you barely taste it.
Yeah. Well, that goes for anything you eat because you inhale everything. It never touches your tongue. It goes from air to throat. Do you not have emails? We get to these points where we fill for a little bit waiting for you to set up an
email. There's a lot of emails.
A lot of emails.
Do they all say, you idiots, you're not on the air?
Probably.
There were a lot of those.
By the way, I was a good boy. Chris Ferreira entered the elevator to go to the press box.
Didn't say
a word. Eric goes, Fred's down there ripping you, Chris. He is pissed at you.
I think we're good. We're good now, Andy.
He lost all the color from his face, and he's just started nodding.
He, did.
Going,
he didn't know what to say. Stammering.
He said, it's a good thing I didn't hear it then.
I can't believe that
to which
Andy,
I said, then I chimed in with, no one did.
I can't believe that Andy didn't say,
no.
Oh, nice. You have time to go to lunch. No one can hear the show.
No, I don't know.
He did say no one did. That was the extent of his
yeah, I did
making fun of Chris. You couldn't. You can never help yourself.
Let's see. Who's this?
I don't know. At this point, you better have an email ready to
Tony
read.
Writes in, great job on both the podcast and the paper. It's been so good, in fact, that you've lured me to do something bad today. I snuck out of work and made the trip to Foxborough to slip into the Patriots practice this morning.
Nice.
That's the first time at a practice for me, and I have to say I'm impressed with the whole setup. The hardest thing to do is decide where to look because there's a lot going on.
Tell me about it.
A couple of things. Are
pretty obvious. The setup is very impressive down here for practice. I have to say. Yeah. I haven't been to anybody else. I mean, I'm comparing it to nothing.
Right.
But the training camp here is a good take for the fans.
Somebody, you know.
We'll be able to compare in a couple of weeks when we go to Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
He's doing a 10-camp tour.
I'll check notes with Bert Breer.
Everybody's will be better than ours.
Not to me, it won't. Because I think it's pretty impressive.
No, I'm talking about Breer when he writes it. A couple of things are pretty obvious from watching these guys move around the field. Brandon Tate looks like he could be a player. Randy Moss is way smoother in person than on TV. Everything he does is like silk. He made a little one-handed grab on a passing drill, and he made it look like that's the way you're supposed to catch the ball.
He does everything.
That's the perfect way to describe it. He catches the ball with one hand like that's how you're supposed to do it.
Either the O-line stinks or the D was very good, because in a number of the team drills, there was pressure on the quarterback, and last but certainly not least, Torrey Holt scared me. Where everyone else looks sharp on their cuts, digs, and routes, he looks soft. Everyone but Torrey Holt looked to be running hard for at least the initial part of their routes. One last question. How do you get access to those seats under the cover behind the end zone? Finally, the feed keeps dropping out. Your IT guys need to get that straightened out. We get that straightened out. The two tents that you saw at the end, Tony, one is media, where we are, and the other is for family of the players, so you don't get to be in there. So, sorry.
Right.
Yeah. That's just for us.
The spoiled media.
Actually, today it would have been better outside because it was very muggy, no breeze in the tent.
Wasn't it
raining? Maybe we can get a fan in there for you, Fred.
That would be good.
I'll see what I can do.
Can you feed him grapes?
I think you're going to be holding it.
I'll use one of those big leaves. Just fan him down.
There you go. Mike in Pensacola, I have a question concerning how some players have looked so far that are not expected to play a key role this year for the team. How does George Bussey, Ted Larson, Thomas Welch, and Cade Weston look so far? Bussey, Larson, Welch, and Weston.
I can't really comment about the offensive linemen, the three offensive linemen.
And he's got one play of Cade Weston to chime in.
But I will say more than one play. Today he was out there. But Cade Weston has been involved when they do some goal line stuff. There's a lot of guys out there.
Dedrick.
Mike Wright.
Kyle Love.
Mike Wright, Ty Warren, Myron Pryor. Is that all the defensive linemen they're missing?
Ron Brace.
I mean, there's a lot of defensive linemen not there, so I don't want to.
But they're actually getting
the
it done.
Before the horse. But Cade Weston
kind of
comes in with guys like Will Fork, Damian Lewis, and Gerard Warren, and has been part of the unit that keeps stopping the offense. And that's been pretty much all week on goal line situations. I don't know if that means he's doing anything or what the situation is. The offensive linemen, they're all getting reps, and I'm not Dante. I don't know.
Well, the one thing we've talked about with Bussey is we thought he was kind of a tackle, and he's a kind of a guard.
And today he played tackle
the second group.
But
first week of camp, he was primarily a left guard. I saw mostly. But apparently he's got a little position flexibility.
He was the second group left tackle today with Lavore on the right side, which I thought was a little bit interesting.
Did you guys notice, too, this morning in the presser, I think Eric asked about Nick Caserio about Ron Brace, and said because he didn't pass the physical?
Yes.
Do you think that's because of the conditioning run?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
because he's been running it.
I'm actually guessing he hasn't taken it yet.
Right.
Because
that's pretty disappointing, your second-round pick from last year. Can't get in shape to come to camp.
Oh, no. I think that he has an injury that has prevented him from taking
it. Yeah, I think he said he didn't pass his physical.
Yeah.
Yes. Right, so, but that includes
you can't even take the conditioning run until you pass your physical.
Well, no, but I think conditioning run is part of the physical.
Part of the physical.
They use that as like an umbrella to kind of cover.
So you don't have
right.
to tell.
So they don't know what this guy's too fat.
You don't know what it is. Right.
But I don't think. I think he. The report was that he was on NFI,
yes.
non-football injury list, which, reading between the lines, tells me he suffered some sort of injury that has prevented him from being able to take the conditioning run. Not being able to take the conditioning run prevents you from passing your physical.
Exactly. But Steve's larger point is accurate.
It's disappointing that a second-round pick is not ready. Phil is absolutely right on that.
And Fred is eating a brownie, so we should probably continue to talk, Paul, because he's not ready.
No more brownies left, huh?
Mike
says, one right there.
Mike says, also, what are your initial impressions of Zach Robinson, and what do you think is more likely, that he makes the team as the number three quarterback or is placed on the practice squad?
Practice squad
more likely, yep. But I don't know if even he's shown enough of that. He's been erratic.
Andy Hart now calling for the unprecedented one quarterback on the roster.
Oh.
I've been underimpressed by numbers 7 and 8 on the roster.
And I totally agree with Andy. I think that they have some issues here behind
finally,
Mr. Brady.
Which running
but
back,
as you've always said, if Brady
if
goes
it gets
down
to that, it doesn't matter.
It's hitting the fan.
Finally, which running back do you think will have a better year?
Everyone sucks but me. Sorry.
Which running back do you think will have a better year for the Pats this year? Sammy Morris or Fred Taylor? I'm going
Sammy
with
Morris.
Taylor. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. Andy,
Taylor
Jake,
might be
and
going with you.
Wow.
I think there's a chance Fred Taylor won't be on the roster. So I'm going
with Andy's guy, Quinny.
One carry for 1 yard. Might
I'm not
win
convinced
that race
that,
for Morris.
Either of them yet.
If, but I am.
If Taylor gets cut, is it a surprise cut?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But based on what argument. I've seen, based on what I've seen in camp,
no.
I mean, the four of us would probably say, well, I could see that coming.
Yep.
Because he hasn't played well in camp. But going into camp, I think that would have been a candidate for a surprise cut.
Hey, Kevin, have you listened to who's Juvenile's MP3?
I'll take a look, Fred.
Anybody might have the last Pepsi?
No, go ahead.
We brought
it's all
four,
you.
I thought. Oh, Eric didn't have one.
Yeah, no, I brought
has,
a water.
He has water.
So it's all you.
He brought tap water. Which is all Aquafina is, just so you know. As is Polar. Found that out the hard way.
For real?
Bought a five. Yeah, that's tap water from the factory.
Tim in Baltimore on the whole halftime show thing. Lady Gaga, really? Why not have her perform with Marilyn Manson? That would be a whole lot of ugly in one halftime show.
It's Katy Perry.
Music today sucks
she
worse than any period in human history.
Lady Gaga.
Oh.
The NFL needs to put on Bad Company. I had a chance to see them this week, and they still rock. If you don't love Bad Company, you're a commie.
What do they
Sorry.
Think?
Bad Company.
I'm going to need a little more than that.
Oh, Lord.
And about Schoble, if the Pats get him, do you think that the defense will be able to maximize talent with 4-3 formations, even though we have so much talent and depth at inside linebacker?
Nah, he'll be, as Andy said, he'll be the Burgess role.
He'll be on the end of the line. I don't know.
Is taking care of business Bad Company?
No, that's Bachman-Turner Overdrive.
Okay, sorry.
All right, boys.
What's Bad Company? I know that there's one of those songs from that era that's Bad Company, but I don't know.
It's called Bad Company. Bad Company.
No, I don't think so.
Fred's got a Something Till the Day I Die. Yeah.
This is worth listening to, I believe, here.
All right.
Just it takes a little while to get into it. There's a little music at the beginning.
Let me just read the setup here.
He doesn't like that.
No, he doesn't.
I'm pissed off or a little hurt, is what he says. I don't know what's going on, but for the last 2 weeks, I've been sending you an MP3 I made of a couple podcasts. I don't know if you're ignoring it or blocking my emails. I don't think you have either played it or mentioned it. It might be too dirty.
He's not going to be ignored.
Please
play it before he boils our rabbit.
Right.
All right, so it's too dirty. It might be a little too dirty, so earmuffs if you're a younger one of our fans, right?
All right, I'm gonna do my best to cut off a little of the music because it is a little.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Are you a fluffer?
I got a feeling that he's had offers, but he's holding out.
Pay me and I'll show up.
Flexible. I think his scheme is to get guys.
I'd much rather watch guys on young guy so I can have sex. You know, I'm in love with. I want the sex.
Eric, you coming?
He may suck. Beat your meats.
He can do it himself. Great. If you want him.
No, you beat off?
The guy is phenomenal.
It takes a long time.
It's coming.
Oh, why are you making faces of
him? I'm not making faces.
I expected orgasmic viewing.
It's going to be awesome. Get my ass.
But Fred's little thing was.
And it wasn't big enough. All right, is that it?
That's tremendous.
Oh, boy.
Fred's
that's
little
it.
Thing. That was a lot of quick cuts there.
See that's quality, right?
I like how
I like how
that's
it started
premium.
Right off with Andy saying, you know, about the
that's
fluffer.
Way more premium than the other day.
Fun.
How much you're off, and I'll be there.
Fun with audio. All right. Well, I hope that didn't offend anyone.
It didn't.
We're just trying to entertain.
Failing miserably today.
Scott writes in.
I told you, Fred.
And
they don't like this show.
It's true. This is a bad show.
Scott in Tucson. Why won't they like this show?
It's been bad since the start. We didn't even have an open to start the
no
show.
No open. Bad arguments for the first hour.
Well, why don't you?
It was a Chinese fire drill. Just trying to get
you come up with
to
a topic to argue about.
Because you two were already arguing. Eric was trying for 20 minutes.
Take a side.
Butt in.
Take a side.
I didn't really enjoy the argument.
You're above it.
Is that, was that what
you're,
I didn't enjoy
you're above
it.
That kind of argument?
I didn't have a strong opinion either way.
You don't have a strong opinion either way?
I just
you never have strong opinions,
I rarely
Paul.
Lack passion, and that one I just had no passion to argue.
Oh, come on, you failed me there.
But you're above it.
Maybe. I don't even remember what the argument was, personally. I'm trying to
fail. You know he's above it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He's pointing
I'm surprised he even comes
he's
here.
He's above all of us.
You know? That's what I'm saying.
Somebody in the media yesterday said to me, Eric, boy, you know, it must be really tough for Eric working with you guys. That's what he said.
He was
so
right.
I don't know what you're telling these people about yourself.
I didn't tell them anything. They can see with their own two eyes and listen with their own two ears.
Are we tough to work with, Eric?
The rhetorical question of the year award goes to Fred Kirsch.
I've been meaning to ask you. Have you had your teeth whitened lately? Because your teeth are very white.
They always have been.
Veneers. Now he's trying to suck up.
So you haven't had your teeth whitened lately?
You do. No.
You did something.
No.
Veneers.
I brush
whitening
every day.
You don't do any whitening.
Some Crest white strips?
That hair gel?
Once a year, maybe, but not any regularity.
And did you do that regularly?
Four questions
recently, like the last couple months?
No.
No?
Since Rudy Petruni talked to you or whatever you call her?
No. It's Cutie Petruni.
I have to say your teeth are very white. They look great.
Great. Thanks. You know? My one redeeming quality.
Yeah.
How come we don't get to ask if Eric is tough to work with for us?
Well, that's what my comeback to this media person was. How do you know it's not tough for us to work with?
And what was their answer?
Yes.
What?
He just
what was
laughed.
Their answer?
He laughed.
Being told that you're a Neanderthal every day comeback. Isn't the easiest thing to do.
Right.
By a pseudo intellect.
I feel, you
nothing
know.
Nothing pseudo about it, my friend.
Thank you, Paul. I feel, you know, what's
distracted?
No. Yeah. Fred, you ran out of steam.
Insulted?
Yeah, he just.
Ran out of steam.
What happened? I forgot the word.
He's
the
fatiguing. Wall? It's been a long camp.
I forgot. I feel something to be able to work with Eric.
Did it move?
Privilege?
Privilege?
Privilege.
There you go.
Good,
good job, Eric.
Who else would have to step
like
up
Mad
to lubricants?
Yeah.
Well, that's actually a word. That's a normal word.
Privileged?
I think my son knows that word.
Yeah, I thought there were emails bellicose. About what Jackson, I should do what Jackson Paul told me.
Oh, there was.
What was the answer?
Why didn't you read those?
Let's see. Let me see if
I'll
I can find
I'll talk with Paul
one.
While you look for one. So, Paul.
So, Andy.
Well,
what's
is,
going on up
one is a
media?
Link to something from The Onion. So
okay,
I,
more likely
I,
to
I
get cut.
I can't use
of the
that.
Old coots. All right.
Taylor Holt.
Holt.
I vote Holt.
Holt.
Taylor.
Mm.
I think there's more depth at the wide receiver position.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Maybe.
Bill.
Definitely. Unproven depth. No, not definitely. You got two guys who have never contributed at an NFL
what
level.
What he just said is absolutely
and another
right.
guy who could be injured.
Yeah. It's totally.
All of a sudden, it's Moss Welker, and what the hell?
It's totally unproven depth at wide receiver. Whereas,
I know. Every guy in the backfield has had. Did Ben Jarvis have a 100-yard game?
I
don't know if he had a 100-yard game.
Close to 100-yard game.
He had a season he had 5 touchdowns.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good.
All those guys are NFL proven. All your wide receivers are not.
I wouldn't consider law firm NFL proven.
I would.
No,
but
he's all,
on
he's,
an NFL
but
field.
He's also would be the
Brandon Tate
the
ran
fourth
the wrong
guy
route.
On the list.
True.
If you got rid of Fred Taylor, he's the fourth guy on the list.
Right.
If you get rid of Holt, you're dealing with Taylor Price or Brandon Tate is a starter.
Right. Yeah.
One of those two guys is a starter.
Bill Berry, Paul's favorite emailer, writes in, first of all, Andy's problem, because of work, Daddy has to ask you to be Tom Brady for Halloween. That's what he said you should say to your kid.
But then I'd have to buy a Brady jersey.
Then show him pictures of Brady with
the
little dog, then do
a
switcheroo with the jersey pads and helmet, but let him carry a stuffed goat.
Yeah, I don't want him looking like Brady.
Why can't he be Andy Hart for Halloween?
He wants to be Mickey Mouse. It's not what he could be. It's what he wants. I mean, Minnie. Yeah, he was Mickey last year. Next year it'll be fucking.
I have no dump button.
I didn't say it.
Here we go.
It's a good thing our arguments are below them.
Wow.
Let's
beneath,
see.
Not below.
Whatever.
Bad Kevin.
Brian Morey wouldn't like that.
Bad Kevin says, "Hey, Fred, Paul,
point.
Eric, and D-bag."
And that's why they hate him.
And D-bag.
Wanted to take the time to thank you all for the training camp coverage. If I only had ESPN and NFL Network to follow the patch for camp, I wouldn't have near the knowledge that I do. Thanks to you guys. Anyway, it seems to me that this season seems similar to the early 2000 seasons. The defense was not proven then, and those guys made themselves who they are, Bruschi, Harrison, Vrabel, etc. Trusting in Bill, I hope we are talking about Mayo, Merriweather, and others the same way we talked about those guys. I know the schedule's tough this season. Oh, wait, you can't determine how tough your schedule is until after the season, Fred.
Brilliant,
but I feel confident
brilliant.
In the offense and can only hope that the defense begins to make a name for themselves.
I'm behind that 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. This is stuff that we've been talking about now for going on 2 years. There's a potential with all these draft picks that at some point you're looking at a good, young, athletic defense. It's just time will tell. We'd have to find out if they mesh, if they hit on enough of the guys. But they're going to have 4, 5, 6, 7 guys at some point that are all going to be year three or four or below, and if there are enough of them hit together, you have a really good defense,
right.
And it will be good for years to come.
Right.
One flaw of that is still the outside linebacker position now, because as I said, McCourty, Butler, I think one of them is going to have a good year. I think one of them will be competitive. I don't have a name to give to you right now as to who's going to be good at outside linebacker.
Let's see. Josh writes in, or Sawyer from Waterloo. Hello, heterosexuals and Eric. That's no. We're not doing that anymore.
Screw yourself, Sawyer.
We're not doing that anymore.
Well, I'm still doing the heterosexual thing.
Andy, I have tried to email in as much as ever, but the lack of emails has nothing to do with the mush brain from Seattle. They just haven't been read due to the newly implemented rules of only reading emails by the people that take the time to listen live and not the mass of people.
You didn't really have that as a rule, do you?
No. I do try to get to the ones listening live, though, because they're listening live sometimes to hear their email. Let's see. Massive people to help launch the popularity of this show by using the podcast feature. And for the pompous gobbler, your argument for Lady Gaga was to align yourself with the guy whose son wants to be Minnie Mouse. And I'm sure to be the idiot while I am. And don't try to blame the fans for not saying hello at training camp. Last year I talked to everyone but you at camp. You were the only one that was too good to say hi to a loyal subscriber and lunch buyer. Even Mike Reese talked to me a little bit about Edelman. Every year since it started during the offseason, I have bought lunch. But I haven't done this year for one reason.
Eric.
Because it rhymes with...
Sawyer, get over it. I didn't see you there.
Your pomposity has gone so far as to expect fans to buy lunch for you.
Yeah.
I think I'll pass until the show that Eric is gone for. And P.S. Eric, Andy, did you recently let Eric babysit Jackson? That might explain some things.
Zing.
He did see him at Fred's party.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Sorry for the technical problems that we had earlier. Obviously, download the podcast for anything you missed.
Now.
It was a great argument with Paul and I.
great.
Better than this close.
So, today's Thursday? We'll see you next Tuesday. Thanks, Kevin.
Peace out.
When I feel that chill, smell that fresh cut grass, I'm back in my helmet, cleats and shoulder pads.
That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes. And I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.